This is the MLWRadio.com network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on cagematch.net. I'm your host, Strigger. With me, of course, is Dylan. Happy New Year to you, the listeners, and Happy New Year to you as well, Dylan.
Happy New Year, Strigger. First time in the new year, we knew that we were coming. You knew we had to do it big with not just the Dome show, which we are going to talk about, but all kinds of stuff happening in this crazy-ass week that we've been a part of. Want to thank everybody who tuned in and joined us for what's really the biggest, one of the biggest times of the year in Japanese wrestling, and for our show as well. Definitely want to say, hope everybody checks out, go to our Twitter at Eastern Lariat. You got to get on those awards we're talking about. You got about a week left to vote on them. Get there. If you haven't voted yet, go to the Twitter, vote on the awards. We're at a good pace right now. We still haven't quite overtopped the half-year awards yet, but we've only had the votes up for like 2 days, so we're still actually really close for just 2 days. Actually, like we're doing very good
for
that
sense.
Keep
the votes coming, definitely. Yeah,
exactly. We want to beat the half-year. That's our goal, and we're almost there. We just need a few more. So please vote for the awards. Let us know what you think is the best in all of the world of Japanese pro wrestling in 2023, and we will have our award show, and that's going to be a really big episode next time. But I just want to put that PSA out for everybody, let everybody know we need your votes, we want your votes, we want your opinions, because we value you, and everything will be revealed, all of the final chapter. The book will be closed on 2023, but we have the chapter of 2024 that we will talk about today, and it's going to be a hell of a show.
Yes. We try to go through all the important topics from Pro Wrestling NOAH, All Japan Pro Wrestling, and New Japan Pro Wrestling here in this show. Obviously, there was so much happening with these three companies that we really can't go into depth with anything else, because this would be a four-hour show if we did. But before we go to these three groups, Dylan, I want to quickly go to some other stuff that we watched to send out some recommendations from the final days of 2023 and from the first days of the new year. I want to make the start here with the main event of the final Seed Ring show from December 28th. I watched the show recently. Thought it was a very good show from top to bottom. Good tag team match in the semi-main too. And in the main event, we had Sari versus Ayame Sasamura of 2AW. Really, really good match with Sari really, pushing Sasamura around. So check that out if you get the chance to.
That match is great. Sorry, getting some votes for Joshi MVP this year. So end of the year on a good note, because that was a really strong match.
It really was, yes. Also want to give a shout out to the semifinals and the final of the Toshiba Sure Shuffle Six-Man Tag Team Tournament, the New Year's show done by Big Japan and Dramatic Dream Team. The final, of course, was Daisuke Sekimoto, Fuminori Abe, and Tetsuya Endo against Harashima, Kota Sekifuda, and Yuji Hino. Very good match, I thought. Fun show, as always, to ring in the new year in Kurken Hall with Fuminori Abe getting to do the countdown here. That was good stuff.
It used to be the big show, the New Year's Eve show. Now they have more stuff. now you have the big stardom shows and the All Japan show. So New Year's Eve's really grown over the past few years.
Yep. Used to be bigger when there was still MMA around, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that was a huge deal. The Inoki Bombayes were always on New Year's Eve back then. Exactly. So, yeah.
Yep. So that was DDT, and another match from DDT, of course, was the final of the D-King Grand Prix that took place on the 3rd in Kirkenhall. Yukio Naya actually defeated Tetsuya Endo. So we both picked this to be the final of the tournament, basically, but we thought it would go the other way around with Tetsuya Endo winning the match. And I thought they had the match laid out that way, that Endo would make a big comeback against Naya, and he did. But in the end, it was Naya just putting him away with the Ichinoseki backdrop, with the world's best backdrop. And I thought the match was quite good. I would go like between 7 and 8 on the cage match scale. Great moment, definitely, for Yukio Naya to win this tournament.
Yeah. I thought it was good stuff, you know. Nothing that it will reach some of the big stuff we're about to talk about, but still a worthy little run here, you know, between two guys I'm not super hot on in general. Like, they're fine wrestlers in their style, but nothing that, like, moves me. And, I mean, God, look at Naya's upgrade now going against Takeshita on the judgment they announced as well.
Yeah, man. Yes, the graphic, man. That's,
yes.
When I posted it, I actually did look for what was the text under the pictures, and they had just Yuma Aoyagi's photo and Yukio Naya written.
He really went under a big change since this win. He seems very familiar to Yuma Aoyagi suddenly.
Yeah, but seriously, though, DDT, you know, Tetsuya Endo, I know he's one of the big guys, but it just continues to be... I just can't really get behind the guy in these big matches. There's something that's something missing. The connection isn't really there with him, I thought. Naya, the jury is still out, I would say. I'm higher on him than you are. I think that the crowd is really into him, and he got a great reaction when he won the final eventually. We'll see where that leads us with him. But DDT, surely, like, they need to find that coming guy that can be the bridge to the customers. That's their goal this year.
And it needs to be, you know, overall, like, because that person hasn't been found yet. And I definitely think there's more upside to Naya than Endo at this point. Endo reminds me a lot of someone who may have main evented another show we're going to talk about very soon, of, like, a wrestling robot. Like, if you look at his moves, like, just execution-wise, he's good, but there's just not a lot there to really grab hold of, in my opinion, or grab onto. But a fine worker, like, again, not somebody who is one of my favorites or I think is really great, but still, he could get it done, relatively speaking. They did all right. And we'll see what happens with DDT going into the new year. I think they're in an interesting part, interesting spot for their company, and we'll see where they go from here.
Absolutely, yes. So... then we had a TJPW on the 4th. The Tokyo Dome show of New Japan Pro Wrestling, of course, was a big show on the day with 27,422 in attendance. But Yoshi was very successful on that day as well, with Stardom having a show in Tokyo Dome City Hall, drawing 1,536, and TJPW in Kurikan Hall on the early slot, 1,235. That was a big exclamation point by TJPW going head-to-head with Stardom, basically. And they did a very good house for them, headlined by a great, great Princess of Princess title match between Mio Yamashita and Masha Slamovich. Really a great striking exchange, hard suplexes, hard strikes. Really, what you think these two will bring to the table, what was really what they did here in this match. Just a big, big recommendation.
Yeah, it was great. Lots of people coming in, especially Corcoran Hall had some nice attendances lately. So good for them. Yamashita is awesome. Like, no question about that. And another reign as a POP champion comes in against a great indie worker, one of the better talents, especially of the women's scene in the U.S. Masha did a great job in her own right. They had a great match together, and Masha started the year off right for a company that kind of struggled in 2023, and hopefully it could be a better year next year.
Yeah, this year. There's really no question that there is no other person in TJPW that the title fits better with than Mio Yamashita. And much like DDT, they really need to find someone that can be worthy of the championship as well, with Yuka Sakazaki leaving, there is a real big open spot. The question is there someone that can fill it?
Yeah, a lot of people were, you know, when we did our prediction show, which, by the way, I was very happy with how the show turned out last week.
Me too.
You know, I thought the predictions were really cool. We had a very lighthearted take on things, a very fun show. and a lot of people predicted that Watanabe may be the one that they go with. And we'll see if that comes to pass. If our fans come in, will they come in clutch? Will they prove themselves clairvoyant? Let's find out.
Absolutely. And quickly back to Masha Slavovic, you said one of those indie workers that really get around. On December 23rd, she was wrestling in Germany for WXW. She was wrestling in the main event for the unification match between the Unified World title and the women's title. Then, a couple of days after that, for New Year's, she was back in New Jersey for GCW and the Engage Invitational. And then on New Year's, she was in Japan. So coming around from all different continents here, she's really working hard in the last couple of months.
Yeah, and a really good talent, one of the strongest. Again, the indie scene in America isn't exactly a haven for amazing wrestlers, especially the women's scene, but she's legit. She's somebody that can really get in there and do a lot of great things. I guess a variety of talents, too. You mentioned all these countries she was in, but whether she's in Impact, whether she's in GCW, whether she's in Japan, as she's proven here, Masha can get it done. Like I said, she's really legit, a great worker.
Yes, and then we have Stardom. Of course, they had their Dream Queendom show in a Sumo Hall, drawing a little bit over 3,000 fans on the 29th. From that show, I'd say the top three singles matches are really worth watching. You can also go with the Goddesses of Stardom title match with Asaka Mitani and Utami Hayashishita against Momo Watanabe and Natsuko Tora. That was a good match as well. But the top three matches really recommended. Julia going.
Hey, you watched it?
I did.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Of course, I did.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Julia going over Megan Bain was a really strong match for the strong title. Sori Ano and Mirai had some great, great interactions in their match for the Wonder of Stardom. Really happy with Sori Ano now being the new champion. And of course, also very happy that Micah finally did it. Finally won the World of Stardom title. I necessarily did not expect that. I thought that after her winning the five-star Grand Prix, she'd also win the title, but Zuzu Suzuki was defeated here by Micah.
Yeah, I actually didn't like the main event that much. I thought that they tried a lot to make
Wonder of Stardom match was better.
Yeah, I thought both of the singles matches were significantly better. They tried hard. They tried to do a lot of stuff with the table, the chairs. It felt like they wanted to make it special. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even that into the final match, like the five-star Grand Prix final. I mean, it was like that match was good. I think this one didn't really do it for me. But the one thing that they did do right was they made Micah's win feel like a big deal. You know, they had the big celebration. Like everything going crazy, people coming out, then the post-match.
Yeah.
Backstage, her giving the title to Himeka was a great moment. You know, I thought, I kind of had a feeling that Micah would win, but I thought Suzu was the favorite as well. When I was on Peps, fellow German, his show, Piro Gems, he is like the biggest Micah fan.
Yeah, and I know.
And he's always like, but he was really downplaying everything. I told him, I think Micah might win. And he was like, oh, you know, he was very, he didn't want to face it. He was preparing himself for the pain,
I think.
So,
but he'll believe in Micah. I did. I have her on my fantasy team.
That's right. You did. You know, as that continues on for our final month as well, we will see how that plays out there. I have. It will take a truly divine intervention.
Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom was not my night.
No, especially considering who. Yes, but that's okay. That's okay. But Micah got the win. Again, I thought they did a great job making the big deal, even though I didn't love the match. I still don't know how this will come across. I mean, look, this had to be, in all honesty, it took a lot for Micah to win the title. It was like when Shingo mm-hmm. kind of won with New Japan. There had to be injuries.
Yeah,
like people leaving. You know, obviously, this show did much less than last year at Sumo Hall, like over 800 fans. But you know, hopefully they can get back. I mean, Stardom had a rough year last year. It was really poor for multiple reasons.
And it continues because they just announced that there are four more injured wrestlers out. Tekla, she already said that she was taking a hiatus. She's injured. Miyu Yamasaki is out. Mai Sakurai and Hina all out for the next couple of shows. So it's really bad. Not only from the company's side and from the decision-making, but there is a big, big topic of these injuries that, of course, kept happening because of the mass of shows that they have unloaded. I mean, they did three big shows in the span of 5 days. That's just too much for these wrestlers to endure, very apparently. And they definitely have to find a solution for that.
Well, they already announced the schedule. As I said, once they fired the president, we knew this was all going to change. And it is. Mm-hmm. Like, they've already announced it. So they're working on it. We'll see how it goes. I mean, the thing is, wrestling can happen, or injuries can happen in wrestling at any time. It's tough, but we'll see what Micah can do as champion. Again, I'm kind of skeptical, I hate to say, how things will go. But I'm happy for her. A great worker. Love the talent. Suzu's great. The white belt match was really strong. The thing with them is, when you see them, those two are two of the, to me, the better like in-ring wrestlers in the company. So you expect a really banger type of match. So this was like both a great match and also kind of disappointing at the same time, because you expect them to reach the match of the year level, and I don't think they reached that high, but it was still a great match. And the finish was interesting. Mirai... like I said, Mirai, her wrestling is really good. I don't think they did a great job of making her title reign that interesting, unfortunately. But all of her matches were really good. Even somebody like Momo, who is not great at having great matches in Oedo Tai. Mirai really got the best out of her. And this match was awesome. Julie and Megan Bain, that was a really strong match, I thought, as well. Megan Bain, totally a successful foreign talent for Stardom. And Julie is just great. You know, it's looking like she might be wrapping up in Stardom, the way things are going. Nobody, who knows what could happen, you know, until somebody goes somewhere for sure, you can never quite,
you never know. You know.
Yeah, exactly. You can never say for sure, but definitely how it's looking. They broke up Donna Del Mondo. They're doing the big cage match, you know, with Ospreay and New Japan as well. So there's going to be some people leaving, it seems like, that may not come back around. And it's interesting how that's going to play out. We'll see what happens with Julia going forward, but that's going to be a big loss for the company if she were to leave. And yeah, well, again, I won't go into a eulogy over her Stardom career until it actually happens. But I will say that it's looking like she may be wrapping up. And that would be a blow to the company, and we'll see what they do, what their plans are. Because, I mean, the roster, you look at this card up and down, this wasn't a show full of bangers besides those two matches I mentioned, and maybe you could say the main event. Especially the moment I thought was great, and we'll talk about another main event that was more about the moment than anything later. But this roster is so talented. There's no reason they can't do a lot of great things in the future. And maybe with the new president, the new schedule... maybe some relaxed minds and some changed minds will have a good 2024 for them, because they really need to bounce back. Just a shame, because 21 and 22 were really the leaders of the pack. I thought they were by far the best company. And then 23 has come and it just fell all off a cliff. So we'll see what happens going forward. I came out of this show, even though I didn't love the main event as a match, I definitely came out of this show more optimistic about the company than I was going into it. I will say that.
That's good. That's good, at least. Yes, so that's what I had at the beginning of the show. Let us now turn our attention, Dylan, to one of those main events that you talk about. Pro Wrestling Noah had their show in Ariake Coliseum. They had a lauded show and then again not a lauded show, because they had to go to an outside match for their main event. I mean, there was a lot of people on that show, but was there really that star power? That's the question. And apparently the fans said nope. And they drew a crowd of 5,135 fans to that big building. And the big talking point right after the show, right after the match actually, of course, was the disastrous Kota Ibushi and Naomichi Maro Fuji match, that at one point it was around place 30 of the worst 50 matches in cage match, actually. It has since dropped. Some people have given it a minorly better rating. There has been some Cagement users that have given it 3 points and 4 points. But for the most part, this is a very badly rated match with 0.75. It ranks right now, as we're speaking, between Seth Rollins versus The Fiend and the three-way between Sting, Great Muta, and Vampiro from WCW on place 46 of the worst 50 matches in Cage match history. Yes, so, Dylan, Kota Ibushi has just made a tweet couple of minutes ago before we started our recording, actually, and he said it's very mysterious once again what he really wants to say. It doesn't really seem like that he's in a good place mentally. He really needs someone to like to help him out, and I think he really needs to avoid being a public figure at least in the coming months. What he said on Twitter was, I quote, "I was scammed by a place called C5 Clinic, which is a nationwide clinic that I tweeted about before. Please be careful, everyone. I think Noah will release information about my surgeries, fractures, dislocations, etc." That's what we have from Kota Ibushi right now. I don't think it has any use or purpose to go deeper into his words here because we don't know the clinic, we don't know the issue, we really don't know anything. What we know is that he was in no condition to wrestle, and he even said it before. He even said it a couple of days before the match in an interview that he had a broken ankle. That should have been a red flag for anyone to put him into a match, but it wasn't in the end, apparently. He did the match, and we don't know how bad his condition was going in, but definitely after the match, he couldn't walk anymore. We could see that he wasn't really walking. He was just trying to get to the backstage area, and there he apparently collapsed, and he told someone to call an ambulance for him. That's what I got from the article on Hachi Sports. There's so much that's going around my head right now about the match. It was just everybody that saw it knows what it was. Kota Ibushi couldn't properly run. He couldn't properly walk. He needed two steps to go up to the second rope. He was extremely slow. And hadn't now Michimaro Fuji been there and done at least some of his offense, I think the match would have fallen apart after a couple of minutes. And it really should have been only a couple of minutes with Kota Ibushi's condition. And that's the part about the match, Dylan, that brought along this extremely bad rating. Had this match been a showcase match between two veterans that had their fair share of big matches in main event positions, had this been like a 5 or 8 minute exhibition match, nobody would have been mad. But since this match was the main event of the show, this rating that we have on Cage Match, I don't necessarily read this as a match rating against these two. I read it more of a match rating against Pro Wrestling Noah's decision to make this the main event.
I did a review of this whole show on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasterLariat, as well as the Stardom show too. Me and Sandre talked about it on there. All Japan, I went on Flow show and did it for him as a nice little favor there. But I gave my opinions on all of this, and I'll just say this. It's not like this is something nobody could have seen coming.
Yep.
When, as soon as the match got announced, you know, I mean, they've had to issue apologies, and it wasn't apologies at first. It was explanations, you know, from the president, and Marufuji said something. Ibushi was on Twitter responding to people in Japanese.
Marufuji, I said it here on the show. Marufuji said, "This is a match we can do now because we couldn't do it in a couple of years because of our body's condition," and yeah, they couldn't do it now.
And then afterwards, he gave kind of an apology on Twitter for everything. You know, at first it was explanations, then it was apologies, but it was something the fans knew all along. You know, like as soon as they announced it, that putting this in the main event was a bad idea. I don't think anybody could have prepared us for what we saw, because,
no.
You know, like this was whatever your lowest expectations for, this plummeted through rock bottom of the floor. I mean, it was just, it wasn't even a,
I was telling people on the day that I was telling them in the Cage Match Discord, you wouldn't believe it. And people just said, I can't believe that it's that bad. And they kept coming back and said, oh, yeah, it's really that bad.
It was. Like, it's not even like a match we can laugh at. No. It was just sad to watch, you know, between two guys who at different points were among the best wrestlers in the world, and Ibushi just, and I think it's just tough for him, and I said something on Twitter, and I gave a very passionate speech on the Patreon show. I won't recap. You didn't hear the Patreon show at all, but yeah, well, I went more in depth on the Patreon. Mm. The fact of the matter is, you know, he wants to, like, he can't let go, you know. Mm. It's not like he doesn't know, like, he's not stupid, and it always kind of irks me a little bit that he's always, a lot of people are like this in Japanese wrestling, where they'll talk about them a certain way, and he's right near the top of the list, but I think people think he's like this complete idiot, and I'm not saying that he's not, doesn't have his crazy parts, or he hasn't done dumb stuff before. Like any human being has, and especially any wrestler has, it's part of the thing, pretty much. But I think he is kind of underrated. You know, he's not as stupid as people think, in my opinion. I think that he's a guy that clearly, and I made a similar point as you made, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because so much focus was on the broken ankles and his physical well-being and things like that. But also his mental well-being was really what I thought about, because I've been there where, you know, your heart is there, your body's not going along with you, but you can't accept that, even if you know deep down. And who knows what this is about? Again, like, we can't even go in depth with it. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe more will come out on it. We'll see how that heads up. Hopefully he can recover. I do think that the answer of, you know, because this is what I saw a lot of people say, was that he needs to rest up. You know, he's wrestled a handful of times in years at this point. It's not like he has a rigorous schedule. This is just his body at this point. And I don't see it getting better, unfortunately. I would love if he could, like, they have some kind of science, some medical stuff that I don't know about, and they could help him get back to where he was. But I think it's going to be really tough. And at that point, you have to try. You know, and I'm not saying he needs to, like, never appear ever again, but I think it's up to the people involved to really try to minimize the risk of something like this happening again, and that is by what you said. You know, no, like, a singles main event is a stretch too far at this point for Ibushi. Yeah. I think that was crystal clear from that match. You know, he's a guy you could put in multi-man tags, undercard stuff, like, low stakes, but I don't want to see this again. You know, it was just so sad to watch.
In the end, it's crazy that Great apparently was the smaller company, not putting him in a singles match.
I mean, that was poor. That was dumb business sense to put him in there, but it was safer to have it. Now, and even then, he still did a moonsault off the thing and everything. So, you know, it's not like you said, it's not like this was some business bonanza, like putting them in the main event. Like, this is done as great number. You know, and that's the thing. I kind of have the same opinion on the business sense, like, of a lot of these shows, where if you just look at it as a cold, hard numbers standpoint, then it's not like there's no way you could say last year they did 10,000 and this year they did 5 and it's good. You know, like, that's just not true. Even in a different, you know, there's reasons for that, obviously, a different building and differ compared to last year, but still. And yet, at the same time, I also wouldn't say this was bad either, really. Like, when you consider the context of where Noah's been and where the buzz was at going into the show, I could have easily have seen this dip around the time. The last time they were there was 2022 on the road to Muto's big show last year, and it was like 3,700. I could have seen this drop into that realistically, but it didn't. And they kept somewhat good momentum. And the show itself, I don't think this was a great show all throughout, but they took some steps forward to set things up for the new year. But the problem is that the main event was so awful that it overshadowed literally everything. And the ending of the show was just, you know, I felt really bad because it's like they were trying to pull stuff out of their ass, it felt like, just to try and get by And I just thought, man, this sucks. We're watching the guy who won the main event, by the way. Ibushi won that match despite everything. And he basically was sent home just crawling. It's like, man, you can't show this man a little bit more respect for like a guy who was a top star. It's like you're going to run him out. And I get that they're setting up an angle. And the angle itself for like Jake was really good. He cut a very fiery promo and everything. Mm-hmm. That's cool and all, but still, you can't show this man a little bit more respect, like to set something up, have a doctor help him out, something. You like do,
anyone?
You know, come on,
anyone? Like he ringside was Kenta Hachisu, and that guy that made his debut on the Great Show, Riki Aitaka. And I think Yumihito Imanari was there as well because he's doing camera work for Ibushi's YouTube channel. And I think there was a fourth guy also around. Couldn't anyone help him out? I know probably he said, no, don't help me. I want to go back on my own 2 feet. But he couldn't.
Yeah, he couldn't. That's the problem. And the way it looked was just sad. He's like literally crawling up. Like, you know, he can't walk.
What you said about Maro Fuji and Ibushi, not only were they two of the best professional wrestlers at a certain point, but they were also such a huge influence and such a huge inspiration for a lot of people that it's extremely sad to see someone that you aspire, that you see as a legend, that you have maybe that you have posters of, in that kind of state, and you have to hold the company accountable for that.
Absolutely.
And that is the point where I really said after the show that there has to be consequences in management. And if I was responsible for putting on that match as the main event, I probably would just leave the company and go for good. But we don't know what is going to happen behind the scenes. Probably those are just going to continue. It's extremely sad. And for Pro Wrestling Noah, we said it after the Keiji Muto show, that they would have a tough, tough year ahead. And there was a crowd analysis on the German cyborg of moonsault.de, and that was very interesting for Pro Wrestling Noah. They overall last year had the second best crowds in all of Japanese Pro Wrestling. New Japan had roughly 290,000 fans, and Pro Wrestling Noah had 101,000 roughly. But most of these came to the shows in the first half of the year. Of course, 30,000 alone for the Dome Show for Keiji Muto. Mm-hmm. And if you just take the second half of the year, Noah dropped behind All Japan Pro Wrestling. And that's where they are. And what's funny about the aftermath of the main event is that the two they sent out was Jake Lee and Kaito Kiyomiya, a guy that they don't even see as the guy. But he is still enough to put him out there to save the show in the end. And that shows you where Pro Wrestling Noah went wrong and where they make their wrong decisions. They still have these two that they want to save their show with, but they don't trust them with more. And if you don't, they will have more issues in the next coming months and years.
Oh, but what about that huge win Kaito had in the House of Torture match? I mean,
huge win.
It's all changed. Like, everything's turned around now. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if we go into all of Noah's problems, we'll be here for a million years. Pretty much. Like, all the times they've went wrong, there's so many things we could talk about on that end. But yeah, like you said, the Dome show and also the first show. I mean, that's like 40,000 fans right there.
And then they also had 8,000 for the Sting and Darby Allin show. Also first half.
That's basically half of their attendance almost.
Yep.
Like before the year, like those three shows alone. And, you know, it goes to show that there's not a lot of good there. And but like I said, I think the show, I thought there was good. It's just unfortunate that it got overshadowed by the main event. And I just hope people aren't too hard on Ibushi. I'm glad you mentioned that and caught that too, because that was like the first thing I thought of, is like everyone talking about the physical. But this is a guy who's proven to be a pretty thoughtful guy and very much on Twitter a lot, you know. He's probably read these responses. He was defending the match at first when they announced it, and he got a negative reaction. And I'm sure seeing all of this, I'm sure there weren't a lot of great comments, you know, about the match. And I just hope he's okay. And don't blame him too much, because he's just doing what he loves, you know.
After all, it was a booking for him. He was booked to do this match. He shouldn't have done that, but there is this sense, the business sense in Japanese pro wrestling. If you are there and if you are in somewhat of a condition to do the match, you're going to do the match.
And he's a guy who was great for his career, legitimately. He is somebody who's been through the ringer. There's been plenty of times he's wrestled where he's been hurt, maybe not to this extent, but there's been times where he's been injured, and he went in there anyway and still did a great match. And the problem is he can't do what he used to do, and it's hard to let that go. Like, you know, it's hard to realize that you're not what you used to be. That's a really hard thing to do in any walk of life, not just wrestling. But, you know, if you're into anything and you were great and you know you were great at it, and then suddenly that's gone, like you're not able to do, your body's failed you. Your heart hasn't failed you, but your body has. That's a really hard thing to do. So I don't put a lot of blame on Ibushi. Like you said, they should have done a lot. There should have been so many things that should have been done to stop and prevent what happening, and none of it unfortunately happened. And we'll see what happens coming out of it. Maybe some lessons will be learned, at least in regards to him. You know, we'll see where he goes in the time to come, whether it's in America. You know, he's still got the AEW deal.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, it's not like he's there all the time. We'll see how they've done it. They've never used him in a singles match there. Like you said,
probably
no Glate. Yeah, Glate, he wasn't in the singles match either. I don't know. Like, we'll see where they go going forward, but it was just sad. It was very sad to watch and sad to see all the discourse play out over such a terrible and tragic match. It's sad that it overshadowed the whole show as well, because I did think they actually did some good things on it.
Yeah, before we go to the good stuff, just want to stress once more that this was really an unprecedented occurrence in Japanese pro wrestling. I've never seen anything like this. This is a landmark in history, definitely. Everybody that saw it live, I think, at the moment, gasped it. It was just absolutely, utterly unbelievable.
Yeah, I posted it on Twitter, and basically the way to sum it up is an indefensible main event in so many ways.
Yeah. Yes, Dylan, but what else? What else did we have on the show? We had two matches that really stuck out, both from what I thought watching live and from what we have on as the cage match ratings. That's, of course, the GHC heavyweight title match between Kenno and Manabu Soya. That should have been the main event. And the match between Tomohiro Ishii and Masa Kitamiya. Which of the two did you like better?
I liked the title match a little bit better.
Me too.
Ishii and Kitamiya was like exactly what you knew it was going to be.
Yes, that's it.
And they had banger like build-ups to this too. Like with their brief interactions last year when they were doing the Noah New Japan thing. At the start of the year, it's like, oh man, we really want this match. And then they actually did it. So I was really happy to see it. Another thing I'll say that they did good, because this was a talking point when we previewed the show. You mentioned that you were feared with all the matches on the show, some things would get cut for time.
Yep.
But I think they actually did a good job throughout the show, until the main event, obviously, with the length. I think everything got time. You know, everybody got a
chance. Yeah, it was a 6.5-hour show, so.
Yeah, it's the biggest show of the year. If you're going to do that, I think this is the time.
Yeah.
For it. Ishii and Kitamiya was great. I kind of made a point about this on the Patreon show. For Kitamiya, he's a guy, like Ishii, we already know he's great. And he's always amazing. I think very interesting. If you look at his track record last year, I thought he was one of the best workers in any company, really, because he got the most out of the least in a lot of ways. Like, he was having, you know, great matches with Yano in the tag league there. That was seemingly unthinkable before he did it. His block in the G1 wasn't the greatest, but he still got the most out of pretty much everybody. Finley in the New Japan Cup, the six-man titles. His year was really strong. I think he's this weird case where he's a victim of his own success. If you look at the Tanahashi Trophy votes, he's not getting a lot of them, but to me, he needs to be up there. He's a guy who should be thought about as one of the best of the year last year, but he's never in any main events, so it's tough.
Yeah, that's it.
Kitamiya, you know, what was his best match last year, like singles match?
From the top of my head, I couldn't say.
Yeah, because there wasn't any great ones. He was a great tag team worker.
Yeah,
he was. That's where he shines at. Everyone will point to the cage match, which he was great in with Nakajima back in the day. But to me, he's not somebody that has a lineage of great matches up and down as a singles player. I think he's kind of in a similar spot Soya was at the start of last year. I thought they were kind of at the same spot. Uh-huh. And Soya really ascended.
Yeah.
And he stepped his game up, had the best year of his career, and ended up in a title match on the biggest show of the year. Which, I mean, a lot of people were critical of anyway, just because he wasn't built up properly, more so than anything wrong with him. It was more so like he wasn't able to build up, and it didn't feel like a big match when they announced it. People are saying now it should have been the main event. The problem is when it got announced, everyone said this isn't a main event or a big match. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like that, they were kind of damned either way, but it was their own fault. They should have built Soya up more. And then you see a Soya match here. Kita Miya needs to use this match versus Ishii. If at the end of the year this is his peak, then he's had a lost year, in my opinion. He needs to use this to springboard. This is one of the steps forwards I talked about.
Right.
Build off of it, and hopefully he now has a chance to really do some big things. Nakajima's out. You have an open spot. You need a guy that's another power guy who's been in the mid-card. Can he step up the way Soya did this past year? Can he be that for 2024? I think he's got a chance for it, and it's something I'd like to see him. I want to see him grab that ring and get that shot by the end of the year.
And what you said about Manabu Soya is the exact reason why I like the title match better than the Ishii and Kita Miya match. The Ishii and Kita Miya match was exactly what you think you would get. It's the match that these two do. It's the match that you expect when you see Tomohiro Ishii. It's the match that you expect when you see Masaki Tamiya. They did exactly that. And that has a very high ceiling, definitely. But what I loved about the title match, the GHC title match, was that Manabu Soya once again stepped up to the plate. I think that he's even better than he was in the last couple of months during the N1 victory, because this positioning, even though it wasn't the main event, the positioning to be in the big world title match on the biggest show gave him a big confidence boost, and he wrestled like that. Everything that he did was kind of a bit more precise, a little bit sharper around the edges. Just everything hit a bit more, and nothing displayed that better than this incredible tope that he did that I've never seen before from Manabu Soya in a title match. He came really close to defeating Kenno, and you could really believe in the final minutes of the match that he'd actually win the match. His lariats looked so great here. Man, we voted this guy most underrated at the middle point of the year. Don't think that you can say that anymore. He's definitely one of those that the company should build more around.
Yeah, and everybody recognized him. Even at the start of the year, I think people realized that he had a great thing going with the title match versus Wagner Jr. I think people really saw him at a different way, and he just continued on that momentum the whole year. He didn't stop there. And then coming into this match, this was the best he's ever been in his career, period. I thought he was so great. And not just that he was performing better, because he's always a pretty solid performer, but here he added a lot of flash stuff. Like, he did stuff that we never saw before, like the tope that you mentioned. I actually thought he was the better worker in a match with Kenno in that match. And Kenno kind of messed up the finish a little bit that he had, but was mostly great otherwise. Kenno did a great job as champion, but Soya did a really great job. Like, he was the best guy on the show, and that says something. And I think Soya really took it to heart to impress, make this work, and really use it as a chance to say, hey, like, I'm in this spot, I belong here. And he, like, whatever test this was, he passed it. He passed all the tests because he did a fantastic job and made that a great match, like, well worth going out of your way to see. And one of the better matches, you know, if you were doing a roundup of all these big shows, I think that one stands up. It's not where maybe Kaito and Kenno was last year, but it's just short of it. It's right up there. And it was a fantastic match. And he was awesome in it.
Absolutely, yes. So Kenno remains GHC heavyweight champion, was challenged by Go Shiozaki, who earlier on the show defeated Satoshi Kojima in a decent match. Thought it was, they did good stuff there. Lots of lariats, of course, which in the end was the finish, both running into each other. Go Shiozaki not only challenged Kenno, but he also founded a new stable, Dylan. You got to explain this to me because I didn't see the stable formation. Him, Akitoshi Saito, Mohamed Yone, Atsushi Kotoge, and Hiroki are Team Noah. Why?
I mean, these are the names you really think of. Yeah.
Hiroki? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The Noah, like the one who really bleeds green, I would say, more than anyone else. Like you said, the Going Kojima match, it's like Ishii and Kitamiya. It was exactly what you thought it would be. It's just Ishii and Kitamiya are better at what they did other than these two. But it was a good match, like fine, solid stuff. The formation of the faction was literally just him saying, I'm starting a new faction, pretty much. Like he came out, grabbed, called out a bunch of people. They came out and... Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to think about it because none of these guys are pushed acts that he's brought in. When I was on Flow Show, Gerard was speculating that maybe he'll be pushed down the card like this year. The problem is he getting a title match in a week as well? So who knows what this would be? All I'll say is Go and Kotage were a great tag team. When Kotage was pushed, like it was like one of the most popular guys in the company. They were the champions. They had a great run, great workers. Kotage's really lost a lot of motivation, and who could blame him without they used
it? I was just going to say what he's supposed to do.
Exactly. Like he's in a tough spot right now. Maybe this will actually give him a little bit more. The other guys, I mean, they're all fine veterans. I don't have anything against them, but it's not like. When I think of Team Noah, this isn't probably the formation I would have had in mind, but it gives these guys something to do as an undercard group. Maybe you could spend something with Kotage, but the others, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, if there is a Team Noah, that usually implies like that there's some kind of a heel team that goes against the company that is an invading force or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's just a very weird name.
They represent what Noah is meant to be, so Striga. Like I don't know.
What their first match is going to be, you want to know? It's an 8-man tag. It's Mohamed Yone, Akitoshi Saito, Atsushi Kotoge, and Hiroki against Naomichi Marufuji, Takashi Sugiura, Taishi Osawa, and Yu Owada. Who is pro wrestling Noah here in this match?
Yes, all of the guys who were not, none of those men were trained in the Noah dojo. Versus all the Noah guys. So, yes.
That's so weird.
I'm sure someone had fun putting that together.
Man. Yes, that's goofy. The show.
I like the idea. It's still good, though, because this company needed a shakeup in factions. Like, this was so stale up and down. They don't have anything really. They don't even have any factions really. When you look at it, Kongo died last year. Ryo's done. In all likelihood, Hideki's mainly in All Japan now. You know, they needed something, and these are the people who they chose for this. So I'm somewhat excited, even though these guys haven't been pushed. Maybe they'll give them something going forward, and maybe they won't. Maybe it'll all go away quick. But I'm like that they at least put the effort into making a new group because I think it's something they needed. I would have had Kaito in it if it were up to me, like for Team Noah especially, you would think. But, well, you know, who knows at the end of the day? I'm just glad they had a new group.
Yeah. What else, Dylan? What else did we have that would be recommended on the show?
Everything besides the women's match was decent. I would say pretty much the Great Sakya match I thought was horrible. Mm. They did a spot with a chair. The crowd was dead. Like nobody cared about any of this.
That's
yeah. I mean, we've seen that even on the All Japan show with the actress girls. Like they're struggling right now trying to get these girls over with these companies right now. And this was not the answer. Also, both matches featured Keiji Muto ripoffs as well. So that's interesting. Like I said, everything was solid. Nothing was spectacular. It was like all I'm looking at my cage match ratings now. It was like 6, 5, 6, 6, 6, five.
What about the Okazazaki debut?
That was the only other thing that was worth watching. Like in my opinion, like the matches we talked about, and then this was a really good debut. Sugiura, just ageless, always great. Love him so much.
Olka did a great job for a first match. Clearly loves wrestling, has a passion for it. They shot a little bit of an angle afterwards. Another good step forward, like first step for the year, where they did kind of a similar thing to what like Mayu Tag did in the past, where they would carry each other in the ring. Sugera kind of wrapped his arm around him, and now he's kind of like his mentor. They're doing a tag match later in the month, which I'm totally down for. Sugera and Sasaki is like a tag team. I'm totally up for that, some kind of run with them. And I think Sasaki has a ton of potential. Only 34, tons of MMA experience. He showed a lot. Again, it's not like the match was a five-star match, but I would say it was still, for a first-ever match, it was really good. And I still think, just objectively, it was still recommended. It would be like a 7 out of 10, maybe 3 and 3 quarters, something like that. And I thought it was a really good debut. So, good for him. Everything else was all right. You know, I had low expectations for the junior title match, but I thought it was a little better than I thought, but still not great. The tag match with Tanahashi and Hayata went too long, but it was all right as well. Everything else was just all right. And
why does a match like this on a show that has so many matches have to go 18 minutes?
Hayata's in it. I mean, you can't leave the big star like without the big match here.
I'm sorry. That's the best argument, of course. Yeah. Never said it. But...
yeah, but
I've got Mighty Hayata.
No, not him, of anybody. But the opener, too, even the rookies match you said you watched, I think both of those guys are good. I think Ozawa has a lot of potential. They gave Awada the win just to make it a little more interesting when they fight for the next 5 years. These openers pretty much give him something. But Ozawa has a lot of talent if he were in a normal company.
Eventually, they'll move up the ranks. And they will be there where Kai Fujimura is now,
yeah,
losing the second match of the show.
Yeah, they gave Kota Gain the win to set up the faction. So like, at least they did something somewhat logical with that. But yeah, Fujimura is somebody who should be like a contender, you know, like him and his brother both. Like, I mean, we've seen Alejandro. He got the tag titles in Dragon Gate, but we'll see. I mean, that they seem like they're all doomed to first, second, and third match action, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, even though Ozawa has a lot of upside.
Yep. Well, yeah, that's been the show. It's where do you stand right now? Because there has been developments on this show that have been good, and we called that out. Great heavyweight title match, but everything is so overshadowed by that main event.
Yeah, exactly.
Where does it leave us with Pro Wrestling Noah for 2024?
Well, like I said, they set up some stuff. I thought they did a good job at that end.
Yeah, but what does it count if the only press that you get is the main event was awful?
Well, it counts to those who stick around. It just will drive people away. they had this negative reaction. So if you stick around, there's good things to watch. And if you have seen enough after that main event, which who can blame you? You know, it's been said some people walked out of the show like and stuff like that. So who knows? Like overall, but definitely a more negative. Like even though there were good things, clearly it was more negative than positive because the main event was such an anomaly in Japanese wrestling. It was so bad that it couldn't, it couldn't not overshadow everything pretty much. But there was good, and I will give them credit. And since we are on the show, I will watch all of these shows, and I will take the. I will look for good, and hopefully they can turn it around. But yes, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, the main event was so terrible that it completely eradicated any goodwill that could have come out of this.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what their next turnaround is in Kirkin Hall. First GHC heavyweight title match in a long, long time, actually, in Kirkin, with Kenno and Shiozaki there. Let's see what they do for that.
Why? Well, why is that happening a week from now?
That is a very good question.
Like, are you that desperate? Like that you for court the numbers?
Yeah.
That you're gonna rush a match in a week? I mean, to what it? Like, what is the gain? Like, what is the upside here? Make Go the champion? Like Team Noah?
That is once again one of those title matches that neither one should lose. Actually.
Exactly. It makes
Kenno
no sense.
Going to the year as the champion, he should be champion for much longer. And Go Shiozaki just has this new group, he shouldn't lose either. Yeah.
dumb booking. But and I if they had drugged this out a little bit longer, this could have been a big time match. But that was their decision.
Yeah, it really feels like that at the beginning of this year, there is a lot of companies that are really, really poor in their decision making, and with that, they really jeopardize the position they are in. And that is my segue from Pro Wrestling Noah to All Japan Pro Wrestling, because boy oh boy, has there been stuff going on in the new year with All Japan Pro Wrestling. And I said it on the 31st, right after the show they had, very well-received show actually, the news came out that Shuji Ishikawa is another one that will be leaving the company at the end of the month. And at first, people appointed to the Actress Girls collaboration with All Japan Pro Wrestling that he might not be happy about that, but it could be something completely different. So Ishikawa leaving, Taiga Kihara leaving, Takao Omori leaving, all office people that apparently can't follow what the company's direction is anymore. They let their contracts run out, or they weren't renewed anyways. Who knows? One of those that seems to be responsible for that is the president, Fukuda. And what happened at the first Kurken of the new year, they did their usual presentation of the roster in the ring, and then the president took over the mic, and he was booed. We talked about something unprecedented with the Ibushi and Naomichi Marufuji match. This year, the president of a company getting booed by the crowd in Kurken, that was really unprecedented as well. I've never seen that or heard of before that an executive got that kind of reaction from a pro wrestling crowd. Then there is the first actress girls match in a Kurken hall. That was Misa Matsui and Natsumi Sumikawa against the great Asako, reference to her, Asako Miya, and Miku Aono. And that match died a death. Michelle was in the building for that match. She told me that people were using that match as their bathroom break. And there you could see them returning after the match was over. You could see lots of people returning to their seats. The match got no reaction whatsoever. It was really, really sad for the girls because it's obviously not their fault, much like you said with the match on the Noah show.
Yeah.
So that completely tanked. And I heard that the president, after the show, shook the fans' hands as they were leaving, like to kind of make up for his poor decision-making. He watched the second show from the balcony. And what they did on the second show, after the first match, Rising Hayato took the mic and kind of tried to please the fans and tell them,
we are not
changing. We're sticking what we are. You had to send one of your most beloved guys out there to hold a speech on your account. That is a big, big red flag, in my opinion, that this company is going in a very unfortunate direction right now.
Yeah. Well, it was news to the president. He didn't know anything about this backlash. he didn't know anything about this backlash.
How can you be, man?
I mean, this guy, I hesitate to make, like, we're so, the thing is, all of this came about so fast. Like, I'm hesitant to make a super strong judgment right away, because we're still so early. Like, we're literally, like, 2 weeks into a bunch of stuff happening, like, all at once. But he seems nuts at face value, like this Fukuda. I said it from the very start when they had the video, like the Actress Girls video with him getting bashed on the head with the freaking pan or whatever they had going on there. I said that Actress video is more of a red flag than anything to do with WWE and NXT, which everyone overreacted to, as they always do whenever WWE is involved. And that's come to pass, that now we're in this weird situation where allegedly not only was this Actress Girls deal happening, apparently nobody knew about it until it happened. It caught everybody off guard. So that sent shockwaves, and not in a good way. Like, some people weren't too happy with that. You have this shaking hands deal And then this deal, like you said, that Hayato, he had posted a thing on Twitter before this, like a meme almost, where he was like showing pictures of him with Ishikawa together, and then it was like God save the president over Fukuda. I don't know if you saw this or not, but yeah, he posted it on his Twitter, Hayato did. And then suddenly he gets this promo time in the ring to start off. And yeah, he's basically like, we'll never betray you. Like, whatever's going on with the president, like, the wrestlers have always got your back. And then he went, like, did his pose and walked off all hyped and all that stuff. I don't know what to make of all of this. Like I said, we're so, again, that's the thing. This all happened so fast. And that's kind of a normal thing. And this is something, that, again, I mentioned this after this match. Everyone was going crazy because they were so happy about Nakajima and excited. I think it clouded their vision to a bigger picture.
I guess
picture.
So, yeah.
When, I'm talking about, I'm going back to when Aoyagi lost the title. I said they went, it was a big mistake that Aoyagi beating Kento should have been such a big moment for him. And they immediately overwrote that to get to Nakajima. They immediately went to Nakajima winning the title within 2 weeks. They didn't give any time to shine. It was so, everything was so rushed. There was no planning. This clearly all came out of nowhere. And now they've went to this. And then suddenly he's in Enokius now. And everything's changed.
Yes. That came about like in the last 2 weeks of December. Yeah. That really came about. And when you go to Simon Inoki's Twitter, you can find that in the last couple of weeks, like in exactly that time frame in December, he started liking All Japan Pro Wrestling tweets. Yeah. I've been going back in back to September, October. I looked for November when the title change came about, but there was nothing about All Japan on his Twitter. But now suddenly Simon Inoki likes the tweets. And he posted this video with Nakajima at the airport where Nakajima gives him a slap. Yeah, and suddenly he's an Inokiist. Suddenly he started wearing the red scarf. Suddenly he has Shinma on his side that was a big office guy for New Japan Pro Wrestling and a business associate of Antonio Inoki. He used the Bomaye for Yoyogi. And everything just starts crashing down on everybody right now, that we really have to reassess what Katsuhiko Nakajima means to All Japan Pro Wrestling right now. And I want to say that I also was caught in excitement about Nakajima coming into All Japan Pro Wrestling because I thought it was a great deal. But now that we sit here, he wins the Triple Crown from Aoyagi, much like you said, and you said it in that on that show already, that it completely overshadowed anything that Aoyagi did as Triple Crown champion. He wins the Triple Crown. He wins the World Tag League with Hokuto Omori by his side. And not only that, he now is 2-0 over Kento Miyahara. And now is also going to beat Shutaro Ashino, of course. I think there is no doubt about that. He said now that he is looking to defend the Triple Crown in America. And where is this all going to lead us?
I don't know. You know, you look at it, I'll say
it
this.
It feels like someone coming in and really taking advantage of this president and really, like, working the guy into a shoot.
And the as I said, the president seems like a nutcase, in all honesty. But again, we're so early on that I can't make so quick judgments as some people would. Even the Simon stuff. I actually said that when all this Inoki stuff started. I was like, oh, what if Simon's behind this? Yeah. And I said it as a joke, and now it's like, oh, maybe there's something to this.
That's not a joke, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to our listeners, Nicholas, Irv, legend in the All Japan
Absolutely,
fan game.
Absolutely, yes.
I love those guys. Love Irv a lot. I love what he's doing. They were doing some research, going after Simon's Twitter there, doing some investigative work right there. So good stuff there. I'll say this. You can see why people got so wrapped up with Nakajima, because all of his performances have been so awesome. At the end of the day, as a fan, you have to love that. And let me tell you, even though he came out basically cosplaying Fujita, Kazuyuki, like with almost the exact same attire as well.
And the exact same hair.
Yeah, the new hair.
Final run.
Yeah, exactly. So, clearly, this was very personally gratifying for Nakajima to do this, and it shows you that what happened in that match weighed on him, like with Fujita and Nakajima. It's clear that he hasn't forgotten about that or let it slide with a Snoopy on his attire as well, which was hilarious, doing the Inoki call at the end. But the match itself, I mean, it was a great match.
It was great.
It was everything he's done has been successful, like, so far. So it's hard to say that, oh, this is like the company's falling apart when all we see is successful things with this right now. But we're so early on, who's to say where it will go or what will happen or what the shockwaves will be. I mean, ultimately, they're losing guys who, behind the scenes, like Omori, obviously you want somebody like that in your locker room, very respected. Yep. It's not like you're losing him. Yeah, Ishikawa, very respected as well. You're not losing main eventers, though. Like, to the grand scheme of the fans, it's not like this is some, you know, major guys leaving. You know, it's guys who are mid-carders and even worse in some cases coming in. So it's not like it's unsalvageable. It's a bad look optics-wise to have guys leave, obviously. They made Kento the new president, who's also kind of nuts in his own right. But still, he's now like filling Ishikawa's job and role and all that stuff. And we'll see what kind of changes that will bring about.
You mean the president of the Players Association, you mean?
Yeah, the Players Association.
Yeah.
Like I said, the same thing Ishikawa was doing before. And we'll see what that leads to. Maybe things can change in some ways for the wrestlers. It seems like the reports are, again, we're going off a lot of hearsay and speculation. But a lot of things we're seeing are that the younger guys, like Fukuda, like are supporting a lot of these moves. Maybe there's some people getting disgruntled because these guys leaving, like Hayato. And we'll see where that goes. Maybe they just use that. Maybe he parlayed that to some kind of weird storyline. I mean, we've seen it before in the Shirashi days. So we'll see where it goes. But for what we have right now, the data we have, this Nakajima thing is working and doing great things for the company. So we'll have to see if they can continue that.
Definitely right now that's the case, yes. I wanted to... What did I want to address here? I wanted to make one point, but I forgot actually what I wanted to say.
What did you think about the match?
The Dempsey match?
No, I'm talking about Nakajima and Kento. Well, we'll talk about Dempsey, but Nakajima and Kento.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great match. I'm still trying to figure out what match I liked more. The first or the second one, I really loved. I gotta say, I loved the Inoki approach in the match. I mean,
he was
cosplaying the Ali match with
with the kicks to the leg. Yeah,
kicks to the leg. Yeah, lying on the back, kicks to the leg first. It tried to lure Miyahara in. I thought. I mean, yeah, I thought it was a great, great match. I don't know if it's on the level of the first one. I'm still, like I said.
In my opinion, the first match was more impactful than the second one.
I think so, too, ultimately.
It felt more real, like, to me. Like, and the ending after the match with them not shaking hands. And I personally was much more shocked that Nakajima won the first match. Once they announced all the WWE stuff, it just made it seem implausible that Kento would win and, you know, try to get assassinated by Dempsey. I couldn't ever kind of overcome that flaw. If they had never announced the WWE stuff, and that's the change I would have made, I would have, listen, with all due respect to Leona and Fujinami, yeah. I would have had Dempsey come out as a surprise after the main event match.
And why not?
Talking.
Why not? I mean, he still was somebody that nobody knew, even though he was announced. So why wouldn't you have it that way?
Yeah, exactly, and it would have kept the like once they announced all that stuff, that made me think, okay, because at first I think we all thought that Kento was for sure getting
Absolutely.
His win back.
Yep.
When they announced the WWE stuff, that kind of swung things in the other direction. So I wasn't that surprised that Nakajima won. I thought they were going to go to a draw, honestly. So I was still a little surprised, and how they did it, I thought was great, like so well done how they built to it with the tap out at the end, and that he worked the match the whole time. Kento was great as like this fiery guy that he always is. So it really worked out. But I just thought the first match felt more real to me because ultimately this Nakajima stuff, it's great because he is a troll in real life and naturally like this kind of guy. But it's clearly just him playing a character to screw with people. Like, you know, and Miyahara especially. The first match was like real emotions and things like that that was brought in. and it was more surprising, and I just thought it was a little bit more impactful than the second match. But both have gotten plenty of votes for the match of the year so far, early on in our voting, so I think they were both great matches, clearly. Like, two of the best of the year, for sure, and one of the best rivalries of the year. It has taken very, very unexpected turn with Nakajima with the Inoki stuff, but I think it's worked out so far well enough.
Yeah, it definitely has. There is still a black cloud above it, and still the jury is out what impact it will have in the long run for the company.
It sets a thread too for Kento this year, of him obviously winning the carnival, because he I really think he'll get his win back at some point, at least once. Exactly. They're not just going to have him job out over and over.
I made the point after the match, the chemistry between the two is just so off the charts great, and it drew one of the best houses of All Japan in the last 5 years, that it would be really stupid from either side to not go back to more matches between the two, not necessarily only singles matches, but also tag matches. They have to do that.
Yep. And let me tell you something.
The point that I wanted to make that I forgot earlier was that Ishikawa leaving, he is so influential. With him leaving, I could easily see the DDT relationship being in jeopardy.
Yeah. But if that comes to pass, that could be something. I think that's...
If All Japan gets the All Asia Tag Team title back very soon, that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, and that relationship has worked out pretty well so far, I would say, for both sides.
Yep.
You had Rey Saito in the DO. You had the Eruption team in the Real World Tag League. I was surprised by the finish of their match on the Yoyogi show, too. I thought that somebody would pin Kojima and maybe set up a DDT title match for one of the juniors. But instead, they just said, nope, the DDT guys are winning. Like, we got the champ on there.
Yep.
So I was a little surprised by that. But, we'll see how that goes. That remains to be seen what will happen. Yeah, overall, that could be something interesting to follow. Right now, though, let me tell you something about Nakajima. Mm-hmm. Never once in his career has he come across like a bigger star than he has in this time. And you have to give him a ton of credit for that. He has a legit aura right now. Every time he's been in All Japan, he's had that, actually. He's done a great job in Noah. He was never a draw at all. And we're seeing now what happens when you could really... They formulated a way, and with the spark of him and Kento... They've done this in a way, and one thing I'll say about this Inoki thing, even though I don't love it, even though he is doing a great job at it, I know everybody loves this gimmick. I just think the first match, like I said, was more realistic to me than this. But one thing I will say is that they've pivoted with this to the point where now it's not just Kento and Nakajima that makes Nakajima draw. Now you want to see what Nakajima is going to do next all on his own. And I think he's never felt like a bigger star at any point in his career than he has in this run in All Japan. And they just need to keep rolling with this, because it feels like they've got lightning in a bottle. And they did another great number with the January 3rd match that he was in the main event as well. I'm sure, you know, we'll see what happens with Ashino later in the month, but there's no reason that can't do good as well. I think he's came across like he's really elevated himself and the company. Say what you want about dysfunction backstage or Fukuda being nuts. They have elevated him through how they've used him and presented him as well. I think they just all deserve credit for that.
That is true. That is definitely true. And also Konosuke Takeshita is coming in at the end of the month, which is kind of weird now that they have a WWE guy for this one show, and then they have an AEW guy for the other show.
Well, it clearly means AEW is taking over the company now.
Clearly.
Like, now that they're getting another guy in. I mean, that's what I was told about this Dempsey thing. I hear, you know, very dangerous situation. They could just, like, break laws and stuff, too, to buy companies, even though they're not Japanese. Like, it's very easy, like, to have many fans. Because it happened in Europe, you know? Like, it's totally the same in Japan. Totally the same. It's never happened before where they've tried this and nothing came of it, but, you know.
Yes, it's... We'll have to wait and see where the involvement is. There was a note from the Wrestling Observer that WWE is really looking for an ally in Japan, and ally does not mean that they are taking over the company. But that's what everybody assumes. Whenever WWE does something, they ultimately have to buy it, right? Because in their history, they have never actually worked with another company. They've always bought them out. That's what they did in their history, and that's why people go back to that, of course.
Yes, because, again, though, they've never done that in Japan, however.
Right, right.
So there's no evidence of that ever happening, actually.
Yeah.
Like, in reality. And it will not happen because it's impossible. So, like, I say it every time. I can't. Nobody listens. Like, the next time something like this happens, the same panic and nonsense will happen again. Nothing will change with
Remember
the fans.
Remember when Tony Khan bought New Japan?
Yeah, that was interesting as well. That whole report that came out. A lot of fans, you know, it is what it is. But what did you think? Now, never mind that, because like I said, when we talked about this before. You had no interest in talking about Dempsey in good faith, like, or this match. You just didn't like it for whatever reason. How now that it's happened, maybe you've calmed to your senses a little better and calmed down. How do you think he did?
He himself did well. He came into this company. Nobody knew him. Nobody knew who he was. The first match that he had at the Yogi show, crowd was very hesitant still because obviously he's a nobody to them. Second show on Kurikan, on the second, he began to get over with the crowd and he began to work to the audience's liking much more. And he built up the match with Nakajima well. What I totally despised, and I will not go away from that, is that he pinned Nakajima. I thought that was a big mistake. Giving away the first pinfall for Katsuhiko Nakajima to a guy who is in and out the company was a bad decision, in my opinion. It should have been a much bigger moment for someone like Kento, for someone like Yuma, or whoever, to get the first pinfall over Nakajima in this company. And they threw it away. They can never go back to that. And that's done and all. The title match. I thought he did well. He definitely has good fundamentals. He had this great rotating kettle mutilation that he did in the match. He had this great backslide with the overlap with the legs that he pinned Nakajima with. So yeah, he has good fundamentals. That's where he stands right now. He's still trying to figure out who he is and what the core of his wrestling is going to be, but for what it was a good title match.
I liked his pose that he did.
But Dylan, though, why would I have been positive towards this? There is no reason and no evidence for that to be a positive outcome.
He's good. Like that. Like, yeah, it was a good match. And it worked out.
Yes, that's true.
But yeah, like it was so silly. Your fears are nonsensical is the problem.
I don't think that they're nonsensical at all because
they completely are.
No,
it's completely impossible legally for them to do what you think they can do.
What do I think they will do?
What did you think they would do? Explain it yourself.
Yeah, no, explain to me because you apparently know what I think.
Well, I'm asking you what you think.
No.
Why did you react that way?
You just said that it's nonsensical what I think they will do. So you apparently have to explain to me what I think.
You just said a second ago that they have a history of doing this. But that's not true. So what were you thinking? Why did you bring that up?
What history of doing what?
Of buying companies. Did you not say that 5 minutes ago?
Yes, I said that.
But okay, so why are you talking around and answer what I'm saying?
That doesn't imply that I think that they buy All Japan Pro Wrestling. Why would I? I just said.
Okay, then what are you saying then? Stop wasting time and tell me what you think then.
Working with WWE will bring them nowhere because they just can't do that to their benefit. That's what I think.
Well, it worked for one night, at least.
Yes, I will say that.
And so far, I mean, we'll see what happens ahead going forward. I think that with this, it's just so annoying to see the same thing happen over and over because it's unrelated stuff, in my opinion. I wish people would be more realistic sometimes. I get it. You know, WWE
Did a company work with WWE before in Japan? So we don't have any evidence for that. Very, very hesitant when it comes to anybody working with that company because I've seen how it works out. And that's
exactly. That's what this is really about. Like, ultimately, is everyone saw how it happened in the other one. And people can't let go of that. And I understand it. You know, of course I understand. You know, it's not like it's somebody. That part is not illogical at all, like to have those kind of feelings. Like, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But you just have to recognize the difference in the situations. And I don't think that ever gets talked about enough, unfortunately.
There clearly is a difference. That's that I give you, of course. And I never said it's the same.
And I get it that WWE is the evil empire. Like, a lot of people are just going to be against them no matter what they do. Pretty much, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. Like, I'm not defending that in any way. To be fair, WWE actually worked with All Japan before in the past.
Yeah, they did in the early 90s, yes.
Yeah, and even the late 90s. They had Bradshaw in the tag league and all of that. Right. Worked with FMW as well. Had Shawn Michaels over, sent people over for that. And I think that's about where they're at. Like, it's WWE can't make headway, and not just Japan, but Mexico is kind of a similar way. Mm. They can't make headway in these places like that easily, just because of, and especially in Japan, because they're so like such a litigious society. Like, there's laws against non-Japanese doing that. So it's, you know, I don't know. At the end of the day,
you know, if it only was these kinds of deals. You know, if it was only like young talent coming over, working the tours and going back to WWE, I don't think that I would have necessarily anything against that. But I fear that it's going to be more and that they want to have a say in whatever happens with their talent that they sent over. So,
right, and maybe they want to do that. Like, I'm not saying that might not be their intentions. I'm just saying it can't happen. For all kinds of reasons. But they might try that. I mean, they
might try.
It's not like they haven't poked around before, but it's just it never goes anywhere because it can't overall. So, and again, there's nothing wrong with being worried in all honesty. You know, that's fair. You know, it's just we've been down this road so many times. It's like a pet peeve of mine almost at this point, you know, at the end of the day. And for this, I thought it was a little unfair. Like, you know, I think we could look at this guy. I mean, again, Dempsey is a nobody, not just in Japan, but he's not really done anything in America either. He's like a totally new guy, you know, at the end of the day. He's never really even been pushed in NXT of all places.
Why would he be in the position to challenge for the Triple Crown then?
And that's why they had him pin Nakajima earlier, and why, like, to me, that wasn't a surprise at all. Like, it was like very
not
easy,
saying that's a surprise. I think it's a mistake.
Right, and there's merit to what you said, honestly. I know some people came at you for that on Twitter. But there's merit to what you said, but they needed to get him over somewhat, and it worked. Like, it ultimately worked when you look at the match itself, because, and it's a great part of Nakajima that he was such an overheel that the fans went for Dempsey actually in the match. Like, they cheered him over Nakajima. Yep. and that's not, no offense to Dempsey. I thought, by the way, what the best part, you mentioned the rolling counter mutilation. We saw the appearance of Ball Knowers on Twitter for sure when they recognized that move was originally done by Victor Zangief, which, if you are a fan of old school New Japan wrestling, like Hashimakov was the former champion. They had this period in the late 80s where they brought in the Russian guys, and Zangief was a great wrestler. He wasn't the champion like Hashimakov was, but Zangief is a great technical wrestler. I don't know if he got that from his dad or what showed him that, but it warmed my heart to see it recognized from him. The match itself was good, I thought, overall. I think people were coming in negative, you know, like not wanting to like the match, but I think that it worked out all right, you know, and I think most people really see that it was good. Or maybe even if you're just not a fan of such a technical style, because when Dempsey was on top, it was more slower paced, and the whole match was kind of slower paced, especially the first half. You know, I could see maybe some people thinking it was a little boring, and then it maybe picked up at the end. But I liked that. I was happy at least people like rated the match fairly, because I was afraid that was going to happen where people just wanted to dump on it because of the WWE stuff. And I don't think that's fair to the singular guy who is not an executive in WWE. He's just a guy, pretty much. That's and Nakajima did a great job too.
That's true. But you know who also did a great job, and that really doesn't get talked about this week? Dan Tamura really does a great job as the junior champion right now in this company. He had a great match, I thought, with El Lindemann. I really liked what they did in that match. I gave it an 8 out of 10 on Cage Match. really liked the performance that Lindemann also brought here. I thought it was one of the best that he did in a long time. Worked over Dan Tamura's arm to the point that Dan Tamura really couldn't do the lariats and had problem doing the powerbomb in the end as well. So great babyface performance that led him to the title win. And then he had a very, very dominant match over Hikaru Sato and even put him away with a Boston Crab. That was very surprising, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's another situation where I really didn't like the booking of that. To do that match so fast, to me, that's like the biggest match he can have in his title reign, just because this is the guy who's been your friend, your mentor, was the tag champions with you. That should have been his big goal to overcross, was to get the win over Sato in the title match. But the Lindemann match, like you said, great work by Tamura. Lindemann was a little, I wasn't that into his opening like heat segment. I didn't think it was that great. But when Tamura took over the second half, things really picked up in a great way. And Lindemann sold things really well. I definitely did a great, very respectable and honorable job of putting over the new young talent. I was very happy with that. Probably the best match of Lindemann's run, I would say, in All Japan. And then the Sato match was really good. If you're a fan of Sato, like I am, obviously, again, that match will appeal to you. I think that, again, the booking kind of held it back. That match wasn't like, the crowd didn't seem like they were that as into it as they could have been. I think if they had built to that more, you would have gotten a better reaction and maybe even a better match. But still, it was good. Like, it's not going to be bad. And they've got a good little division. Tamura is the power guy in it. I look forward to see what he can do in his title reign.
Yes. So, what we have coming up next for All Japan Pro Wrestling is, once again, Kirk and Hall. Sunday the 14th in the main event, there is the tag team title shot for Nakajima and Omori that they won in December, winning the Real World Tag League. They take on the Saito brothers. Other than that, we have a Gaora TV title match. Black Mansoor pinned Minoru Tanaka to win the championship in the opener.
The big title.
The Gaora TV title now is back with All Japan Pro Wrestling. Back with Black Mansoor. Other than that, there's not much big stuff on that show. There's Ren Ayabe and Naoki Doi against Kuroshio Tokyo Japan and Osamu Nishimura.
Yeah. I mean, the logical guys.
What was striking was that Ren Ayabe was not revealed as one of the new signings with the company, and people attributed that to Shuji Ishikawa leaving the company, and I can see that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, that definitely played a part in that. And you know, he left JTO, right?
Yeah, he did.
You know,
freelance.
And now, I mean, that's tough. That's a tough spot to be in, kind of caught in the crossfire, right? And that's the thing sometimes with these guys. Again, there's so much to it. I think we all, especially on our show, we analyze these things as maybe in-ring fans. You know, I definitely value the in-ring so much. That means so much to me. From a business perspective, we try to do a fair job the best we can on that end. But then there's this human element of it, that this guy came into the business in this company, he left, and it's possible, again, we don't know this for sure. Maybe this was always the plan, and you know, everybody knew. But you come in thinking that, hey, this guy could be the next signee, like the new guy coming out with the tracksuit and everything. And then because of reasons totally unrelated to Ayabe, it doesn't happen. And that kind of sucks. You know, I got to admit that, you know, like I said, I'm trying to take a positive slant on a lot of All Japan stuff right now. But that part definitely sucks, I got to say.
For the 27th in Hachioji, they have three matches lined up. It's All Japan versus DDT with the Aoyagi brothers taking on Hideki Okatani and Konosuke Takeshita. Another junior title match. Dan Tamura defense against Koji Iwamoto has been lining up victories recently. That should be a good one. And of course, Ashino versus Nakajima for the Triple Crown, like I mentioned. And that's looking like a good card.
Yeah, I think it's a shame for, and this is another kind of sad part. Ashino, he's in such a tough spot right now. You know, just coming back, getting this Triple Crown shot. It really felt like he could have won the title if the injury hadn't have happened, you know? And I think, you know, maybe his time had passed now. And that's a sad thing.
Seems like he's back like in a group with the Jiro and with Segu Tachibana. Yeah, the Wrestle One guys, man.
stick together, like wrestle one, or, you know.
Yeah, it's the rematch, right? From Nakajima winning the Wrestle One title and disrespecting it.
That's right. You saw Hayashi, he talked about retiring. Maybe he's got one more run left in him. They need to bring him in for all Japan. Redo the whole thing. Yeah. So the match should be great, though. I have high expectations for it. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you do, too. We are both Ashino. Like, I don't want to speak for you, but, you know, I think we are both Ashino respectors on this show. And we like what Nakajima's doing. Even though, like I said, admittedly, there's a lot of weird stuff around all of this, and I can't deny that. I just hope that, you know, right now, so far, it's always my point on all this is so far, everything they've done has been successful. Ultimately, I think the one thing they screwed up on was Aoyagi. To see about, I mean, look at that show, the biggest show of the year, and he's teaming with Yoshitatsu. What? Like, you couldn't do better than that?
Obviously
Come on,
not.
Guys. No, obviously not. Yeah, and hopefully Nakajima will be in the carnival, and they can kind of rewrite some of these wrongs, maybe give a big win to him. Let me tell you something. I'd love to see him and Anzai go at it. That did way more for me than the Dempsey stuff in their build-up tag on the night before. Dempsey got the win. Anzai, man, that guy is just a great wrestler.
No, I will remain very skeptical about this.
That's
funny. But you know, if you've been a listener to that show, I am not someone that will sit here and defend my viewpoint to no end.
No, that's okay.
If I, in the end, make the decision to say, okay, I'm wrong, I will be here on this show and say it. That's always been my thing on this show.
No, and I've always respected you for that, and I feel the same way as well. If WWE buys All Japan in the next 3 months, I will be on here saying, damn, Stringer, like, somehow they beat us.
You told me, and I would say, no, I did not!
Denying you said something you said. Okay. We'll see. You know, at the end of the day, nobody knows. The thing is, wrestling's so weird. Like, who would have predicted 3 months ago saying, oh, Nakajima is leaving Noah to go to All Japan, not New Japan, and he is going to be an Enochiast again in All Japan and not New Japan.
And that's right. You would have copyright the term Toku.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're taking shots at New Japan.
No, yes, I don't know. Like I said, there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and I totally admit that. Because like I said, I said before, I think everyone got swept up in the Nakajima coming to All Japan and kind of overlooked the Yuma thing, and that made me feel bad. Maybe I'm the one overlooking things now, and I'll look like the goof in the end, and I will accept that if that happens as well. Or whatever. I mean, the New Japan, that's another take on it, that, you know, Noah and New Japan, whatever relationship they could have with All Japan. What is the president and whoever's now at his side, whoever's advising him or whatever, what are their opinions on All Japan working with these other companies? You mentioned DDT, but they also work with Noah, New Japan.
There's no more big New Japan contingent on the All Japan shows in the middle of the year.
Yeah, true. That end, yeah, you're right about that. I wonder
they're
if
all in Noah now.
They did do a little thing on the Monday Magic shows where they had like Hayato was there for 1 week.
Yeah.
Anzai was there, you know, so they're kind of keeping it alive. It's definitely not strong right now, any kind of relationships there. I think maybe the best thing is not just for us as the fans and analysts or whatever, but even the companies, they're just wanting to see how this plays out with this shakeups behind the scene in All Japan. What will it mean? Will it be a healthier company by the end? Will their locker room rise up and rally? Or will it, you know, will this Nakajima thing, will they do another great house with Ashino? You know, maybe, because if they come out with a banger, like another big number for them, that's going to continue their momentum that they've built, and they've done a great job of it over the last few months of the year. Not just with Nakajima, but I think it really started when Aoyagi won the title back in July. And they've really taken that leap to the next level with Nakajima. Again, although I wish that Aoyagi would have gotten a little bit more respect coming off of it. It's not like his career is over because they booked him bad a couple of months. If he can get his win back in the Champion Carnival, they will all remember it pretty well. And so I'm not like making rash judgments right now. I just want to see it play out ultimately. That same thing with the WWE thing. I just want to see how everything plays out before I make judgments on everything. And we'll see how it works out at the end. But right now, it's looking good. Nakajima feels like a great star and a great champion. And the rest, I think, for the companies, for us, with all the shakeups behind the scenes. I mean, God, we're talking about Simon Inoki in 2024.
I looked for a show and I posted the link in the Cage Match Discord. We talked about him, I think, the last time when we talked about this Chinese company that was supposed to work with Pro Wrestling Noah. And at the time, I made the assumption that that could be an entryway for WWE into the Japanese and Chinese market. I think we talked about that on that show.
Yeah, and going back, you had the new stuff that he was the main guy of. They had a bitter breakup with him and his former father-in-law with IGF and splitting up and stuff. But when they had the new stuff, they had the Chinese guys on that show, and I thought they were really good. I thought their shows were good. Simon, he's just a weird guy. Like, going through his history would take too long, probably, but he's just kind of a weird guy, and we'll see. We'll see what how much sway he'll have in this situation. But I agree, with him involved, there's actually good reason to be a little skeptical now that you bring it up.
It's an Eric episode 86 called Eastern Heroes. We did that in May of 2018.
That's right. The new and the IG and the ism that Inoki ism. Antonio was going to do. Yeah. That's interesting.
All right. I do have about an hour left for New Japan, so we might get.
Okay.
All right. From there on, let us turn our attention to New Japan Pro Wrestling.
And only 90 minutes into the show, we talk about the biggest thing. No. We're too busy arguing about Simon
there's
and Noki.
So much. New Japan Pro Wrestling. Tetsuya Naito, Dylan. He finally got to do his roll call. He is now, for the first time, the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. And I jokingly tweeted it out yesterday, a couple of hours after the show. Naito has been the champion for a couple of hours. We need to think of something to get him rid of the championship once again. But no. We hope that right now this title run is going to be a lengthy one. I thought about it before the show. The point of the Tokyo Dome was so crucial for him. And they did this angle of evil almost crashing the roll call, which of course everybody hated, but in the end it served for Sanada making the save and receiving the biggest pop that he received throughout his entire title run. This right there was better for him than anything that happened to him during his title run. And he cried on his way back, and I was feeling so sympathetic for the guy, because he clearly was not the guy that should have been champion in a Tokyo Dome main event, but he tried to give it his all. That's the best that he could offer. And he said it in this video too, before the show happened. They did this interview with him. He was sitting outside in his suit and it started raining, and he said, "See, that's what happens. You got to feel bad for the guy." And at the same time, this was a great angle, because it brought together former LIJ members that have gone their separate ways now. And I hated it in the moment, but you're supposed to hate this angle. that's what it's for. But it was very effective, I want to say.
I thought this was like clearly the best moment. I honestly thought this was like the best moment of the whole show, like more than any match, in my opinion, and definitely of the Sonata title reign. It was so perfectly executed. If you follow their story, it works so perfectly. And for the LIJ fans especially, you know, like the match itself we can talk about, but like this whole deal was made for the LIJ fans specifically. Yes. If you're a big Naito fan and an LIJ lore guy or girl, like you were super into this. The main event angle, like the post-match angle, it was literally perfect. You know, it was basically the equivalent of, you know, evil comes in to ruin this moment that Naito has said, like he stated before, this is his goal. Like, it's not even the title that was the big deal for him. It was doing the roll call in the Tokyo Dome, which, again, for me, someone who's not a big LIJ fan, that didn't do a lot for me, in all honesty. But that's what he said. You know, we cannot change what he said in reality. So he's ruining this moment. Sanada, who just suffered his biggest defeat against Naito, and the whole build-up was basically Naito saying, man, Sonata, he sucks as champion. Like,
he said it himself.
Yeah, he's like, can this guy say anything to build up this match? Like, I'm trying to promote Sonata, please. And Sonata was like, nah. but yeah, so they did this whole deal. Sonata coming in to save him was basically the wrestling equivalent of because, like, they've all split up in their own ways. Like, Evil and Sonata and Naito, they've all gone their separate ways and all that. But this was basically the equivalent of if Batman was attacked by the Joker and Nightwing swooped in to save him. Like, after he stopped being Robin and left Batman behind, he came in to come back and save him. That was a huge moment for the fans. Or, like, if Sasuke had defended Naruto against somebody, everybody would have popped huge for that. And it was, like, perfect for him, where he saved him, Naito showed him respect. Like, he gained more out of this than would have gained if he had actually won, in my opinion. I think that he had a huge upgrade in character and a huge upgrade in interest coming out of it. It was perfect booking. And there's a lot on the show that I didn't think was perfect, to be honest. But in terms of booking, I thought that post-match angle was so damn good, so damn emotional. Even for me, somebody who's not super into LIJ, I thought it was so perfect and a great way to end a show like that. And then we did get the roll call at the end, and with Sonata in it involved, which was, like, totally poetic and perfect.
Exactly. Yeah, it was. The match itself, I thought it was a good match for the most part of it. Like, they didn't do anything that was surprising for the most part of the match. They did their stuff. It's almost like they went through their motions that they know with each other. And that's right. that worked out. But then there was this moment in the match where it seemed like that both guys had their bell rung and didn't know where they were anymore when the first Destino got kind of botched.
Yeah.
Or it didn't in the end. I'm still not sure if what of that was planned and what was not. But it definitely led to the pace of the match going in. Yeah, for the pace of the match drastically reducing, and they had to work their way back into that, and the pace quickened then to the eventual finish. That was a very, very hot finish, in my opinion, with the final Destino and Sonata really getting dropped on the back of his head. There was multiple really dangerous situations, like Naito did the dropkick to Sonata, who was hung on the ropes to the outside, and he jumped over the top rope and really hit his back really badly on the ring apron. So dangerous stuff throughout the match. Very effective finish. I'd say the last 10 minutes are really where it's at, where the money is at for this match. The first half of the match wasn't so much it. So in the end, good title match, very effective to what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, for the LIJ fans, this was perfect. For me, I didn't think this was a great match, personally. The post-match clearly made up for it anyway, you know, at the end of the day. And this show was all built around Naito. They actually have a pretty interesting story, which they played into. Them, you know, both trying out the first time. Naito made it, Sonata didn't. That was very interesting. I don't think Sonata is the kind of guy that could get the most out of a story like that. You did have the Muto attire for Sonata as well, which is
not only the attire, but also the entire movement. His movement was very, very much like Keiji Muto's.
Yeah, and he's obviously taken a lot from that over the years anyway. Like, you know, no matter what iteration of Sonata we've seen, I think that clearly bleeds through in a lot of his work. And this is kind of the pinnacle of that. But the crowd loved it. You know, like, the people who were in attendance at the Dome, this was the match that drew them. Like, you know, this was the hottest they were all night. You know, and the ending was special. The post-match was brilliant. It felt like a truly heartwarming wrap-up to this whole story. And that's kind of rare in wrestling. Like, a lot of times you don't get those really emotionally fulfilling moments. You might get somebody winning the title, like, or overcoming the odds like that. But for an emotional thing, again, it felt like there was real parts of this in the post-match angle that really came to play, and I thought they did an excellent job. The match, I didn't think was that special, in all honesty. But to the fans, I mean, who cares? Like, you know, at the end of the day, who cares what I think? Like, the LIJ fans are who this was for, and it worked, like, for them.
Yes. What did you think about the Bryan Danielson and Katsushika Okada match?
Great match.
Yes.
Like, and another real life a moment at the end with those two pairing in. Something I want to say, again, this match was awesome. I can't say enough good things about it. Way better than the Forbidden Door match. They totally blew that out of the water. I think everybody would agree with that. Something I noted on this show as a whole, we'll talk about the attendance and all of that stuff and the matches overall. Whatever you want to say, this was the first Wrestle Kingdom in years that felt like the true spectacle, like the WrestleMania level show. You look at this show up and down, you had amazing entrances, new attires, like great production value. The stage looked great. Then you see this Okada entrance, which to me might legitimately be one of the best entrances I've ever seen in wrestling.
This light that painted his jacket was such an incredible thing.
Yeah, I don't know how they... It was one of those things like an optical illusion or something. Yeah. You know, like, did I really see this? did I imagine this? Is it real? It's one of those great... And kind of like you said about the Destino in the match, the main event. That's kind of like the magic of wrestling, right? When you have a moment like that, that gets you really thinking, like, oh, what was that? And then this match had a few of those as well. A great aggression from Bryan really conveyed their story of him wanting revenge over the broken arm that they had. You got the yes chance in the dome.
Yeah.
He
got really over with the crowd, yeah.
In general, this was a great crowd, in my opinion.
I noticed it during the Yuya Uemura and Yoda Tsuji match when they had a big reaction for a simple shoulder tackle that Yoda Tsuji did. I thought, okay, yeah, this is a great crowd and we're in for some fun with them. And we really were. And this match was one proof of it. Really liked the approach. It's so simple sometimes. You can just say, okay, I want to break this guy's arm. And that's all you need for the match story. And that's what they went through. And everything that Bryan did was just not enough. And the story here was clearly that he wanted to break Okada's arm and make him submit once more. But Okada couldn't let that happen on his home turf because he would be humiliated by Bryan in the end. That couldn't happen, of course. So he fought through everything and in the end came out as the valiant victor. But I was kind of surprised by the finish because I was thinking that they had this storyline build in with his arm that he couldn't make the pin properly, that Bryan would get the kick out from the Rainmaker. But apparently they're saving some things for maybe down the line.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, another third match is right up there. Obviously, there's speculation on Ospreay and Omega. You know, they also have a third match that they could save there. And we might see both of those third matches very much in this year at some point. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see round three of these guys here. That's my one criticism of the match. I think this was the best match I've seen this year. And we're not even a week into the year. Match of the year already determined. But I think it would have been like a true five-star match for me, the greatest match, like one of the best matches in Wrestle Kingdom history. I wish that they had done a different finish than the Rainmaker. Honestly, like this would have been the perfect time for Okada to break out something else because it went against the entire story of the match pretty much. And like
did
you said, even with
recently, the cover. He did recently win a match with the Dos Caras clutch in preparation for the Bryan Danielson.
That was on Kosei.
And I was thinking maybe they'd bring out something like that in that match, but they did not. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a really cool finish if they had brought that on this big match. I think they were kind of saying like, "Hey, Fujita, you're a rook. You don't deserve the Rainmaker. I'm doing this Dos Caras clutch now." But I just wish he had done something a little different, and I think he would have played into the story. But in the end, it was still great, and you can't take that away from him. And to me, the match of the night, in my opinion, was these two, and I thought they did a great job. And it was so heartwarming and great to see Bryan get this dream dome match of his. You know, you could see the emotion after the match. Another realistic deal. Okada had a ton of respect for him, obviously. Everybody should have respect for Bryan, I would say, definitely as a wrestler. So great match, loved it, and the highlight of the show from an in-ring standpoint. Although the moment of the show was the post-match of the main event, but still, this was the best match.
Absolutely. And you talked about entrances, and I made the point on Twitter as well. There is a point where you can be really over-the-top cheesy and can do these entrances that on any given night will be really corny. And for TJP, it was very corny. But man, the Will Ospreay entrance, whatever you think about the guy himself, this entrance was really spectacular. That is...
The whole crowd chanting his name.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed is really one of my favorite video games.
Oh, and yeah, we talked about that many times.
Yes, we did. Off the air, we did. And the attire that he had was spectacular. The entrance was spectacular. Everything about it was great. So this was a great moment for the Tokyo Dome. And that's the stage where you do entrances like that. We had Omega and Ospreay last year. This time we had Ospreay with this great entrance. The match itself for the global heavyweight title, Dylan, it was a big plunder match that had really cool moments, and ultimately it had cool moments. It's not something that I will go away and rewatch ever again. I rewatched Tanahashi and Zack Sabre from this show, and I rewatched Okada versus Bryan Danielson. I will never ever go back and rewatch this three-way match. It was fun for what it was, and that's about it.
Yeah, Ospreay entrance was great. The Assassin's Creed stuff came in. He did the old school like Rey Mysterio leap up from under the ground at the entrance. And then there's a part in his song where like it just chants his name over Ospreay. Yep. And the whole crowd went with the song when he was in the ring. That wouldn't have worked with his other song. Like they brought back his old theme for this one, like which he used last year too, the Elevated or whatever, which is just a better theme song. Clearly, I would say. But yeah, they all chanted his name, like the whole dome. That's really impressive, to be honest, and shows what he meant to the fans. He's on his way out. You know, it looks like it had been speculated. And again, we mentioned earlier about the All Japan stuff. We got to admit when we're wrong sometimes. I think the dual contract with New Japan and AEW, that might not have been entirely accurate. I might have gotten that one wrong. It might be all AEW going forward the way that they're doing it. Yep. You know, ultimately, they're building up to this final match, the big cage match, like the 5-on-5 or whatever match. Ospreay leaving. I mean, clearly the Japanese fans love him a lot. He's clearly a controversial guy in the West, but the Japanese fans, they really loved him a lot. The match was like you said, a great. I described this match as chaotic. You know, like that's what this was. Mm. There was a lot going on, and I thought they started out really good, actually. Then there was a part where Moxley blasted Ospreay with a chair, and then everything just broke down. And like, you know, the War Dogs were coming in. You got the beam of Coughlin sticking through the table, like that they had there.
He looks like he's taking a shit on the table.
Yeah, it was a very zeitgeist moment. It had to exactly break how it did for it to work that way. We got this legendary picture off of it. And in the end, Finley gets the title. I thought the ending stretch was really well done with all the finishers. It was chaotic. It wasn't like it was like this brilliant like maestro performance from the three, but it was fun. And I think it worked with the fans overall. But I thought Finley... I still maintain that Finlay is not as bad as people make him out to be, in my opinion. I thought he fit in well here, pretty well. The ending the ending stretch where he rolled into the, like, he dove into a suplex and did kind of like a swerve-esque transition into the Oblivion, which I like was really smooth and well done. I think that he's a guy that, it's just tough because we've been down this road the past year. So it's kind of hard to really get invested in him as a character, and I understand that too. But as a wrestler, I don't think he's that bad. I think he's
not. But the presentation of him has been very lackluster. He's been pushed and then again not. And it's definitely tough for the fans to really grasp what he's supposed to be and where he's supposed to fit in. And it's he doubled down on that as well on New Year Dash just. After the match where he said that he is the real world champion now. Why? Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, Glow.
It's not to your benefit. It's not to your benefit.
No, obviously not. Like, you're totally right, honestly. But, you know, global, world, they're kind of the same.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll unify the titles now. This will build to our next unification match for New Japan.
Yeah, but it looks like that he's going to face Nick Nemeth first. Nemeth did a great version of the... There were, recently was this video of this guy that asked for probation and he attacked the judge. And they were jumping
over... Oh, the judge.
Over,
oh, yeah.
They were jumping over, over that desk. And Nick Nemeth kind of reinterpreted that into his own version when he jumped at David Finlay. And I analyzed that. That looked... That was so great, man. He jumped at Finlay. Finlay runs away. Nemeth runs after him. And instantly, from running after them, changes into the smoothest walk of them all. You gotta watch that video. 8 seconds. 8 seconds. Into, it takes him like 6 seconds to jump, run, and to walk smoothly again. Great stuff. Great stuff there. So yeah, that's the first title match, apparently. I don't know about that.
What do you think about Dolph and New Japan here, or Nick Nemeth?
I mean, once again, like I said, like I said a couple of times on this show before, the jury's out. I haven't seen him outside of WWE ever. So,
has he ever wrestled outside of WWE?
I don't think he has.
They said him. I know he's going to wrestle in Puerto Rico soon, but I don't think he has other than that. He was always an OVW guy.
No, he's
I was there.
His last match was in March. A double count out against J.D. McDonough.
J.D. McDonough. What a way to go out. A double count out. Damn. I mean, that's main event stuff right there. But no, he's a guy. I mean, he's been there for like 20 years or something, like in WWE. Yeah. And, you know, never outside. It's interesting that this is his time. It kind of makes sense because he showed up with his brother. So maybe in his mind, this is like giving his giving little bro a little bump like by coming in. Maybe you could give his foot in the door, or maybe they could do some build up tag matches. I'm just speculating at this point, but maybe that's part of his thinking. I don't think he's getting like millions of dollars for this or anything like that. But for the level of going after Finlay, I think that's a fine signing. He's not somebody that I personally have a ton of interest in, but now maybe. We don't know his motivation level at the end of the day, because there's some guys, when they leave WWE, they are just checked out. Like, WWE is different than every other company. It's a totally different environment. And now I just don't want to be in these other environments. And then there's some people that are
like... He at least looked very passionate about.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, and some guys, this is their chance. Maybe he's thinking, like, damn, I was goofing around with J.D. McDonough. Like, I could do more. Like, I could be a dude if they give me a chance. And he's a talented guy, obviously, like, you know, to stick around that long. We'll see. And I think his motivation is pretty high, look like, from the start of it. And we'll see how this goes. I think it could be an interesting little match overall. So let's see what Nick Nemeth can do. Hope for the best for him, and hopefully he can break out again. You know, in WWE, there's been like everybody who leaves is like they're escaping prison. Like they always go with the same. Like Moxley did it, and then like 20 different guys followed his lead. It seems like so. Hopefully he can get a good new lease on life and have a good run here. You know, the clock's ticking on him. He's not young anymore, but he looks great, like great shape and all of that. Let's see what he can do in New Japan.
The moment of the show for me. Clearly was El Desperado winning the Junior Heavyweight Championship. I had not seen that coming.
Oh, totally. Total surprise.
Finish. Total surprise. Great surprise. I was jumping out of my seat here, screaming around. Desperado beat Takahashi in 14 minutes. I thought the match was very well done. Desperado attacking Hiromu Takahashi's legs and knees for almost the entire match. It was a great approach. Here and then in the end he put him away with in spirit, of course. Jun Kasai was there with him, putting him away with a vertical drop, double arm pile driver. Great stuff there. I was very happy for Desperado, but they didn't give Hiromu Takahashi the longest title run. Dylan,
heat is saved, like his record continues. Totally unexpected. I have to say here, a truly surprised finish. I question the purpose of all, like this whole title reign at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's these two obviously have a long history with each other. I thought this was a good match. I wasn't as hyped for it, to be honest. I thought it was a good mid-card match that I was very surprised by the winner. That maybe boosted it up for a little bit. But I just think that these two guys, they're just so... I have no hype for this title run for Desperado, to be honest with you. Like, there's no new ventures I feel like he can break through at this point, unless they bring in some, Ali. Like, I guess
it always feels like that the company has this weird glass ceiling in their own mind in the junior division, that the only guys that Hiromu Takahashi is able to lose to are either El Desperado or Taiji Ishimori.
I guess so. Those are the. I guess when you put it that way,
used to be one.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true. I think that he's a guy that, you know, has really gone through his waves of hotness and coldness like over the years. But he pretty much delivers still for the most part. Maybe not to the high end, but there's also a pretty solid floor to Hiromu as well, because we were critical of his outside New Japan run, and I don't think it was great by any means. But none of his matches were bad either. You can always trust a guy like that to do stuff. And Desperado's a little bit the same way, where, you know, you're not going to get bad Despy matches, you know, often. Like, they're always going to be at least solid and good. And occasionally, either one of them can step up and have a tremendous, great match. So, yeah, it was a good match and a shocking win, like by far the most surprising win on the show. I question it for the title record, but hey, I love Minoru Tanaka. So
it was only
one more
month, right? It's
He
almost title run lasted exactly 1 year now, and Heat's record lies at 387 days.
Like I said, I mean, I love Minoru Tanaka, so I'm fine with this, him keeping his place in history. It was just a little weird, more than anything. But if Hiromu's just being Hiromu on the next month or two, then I don't like it. But if he actually can, if they can make a story out of this, like you came so close and you came up short, that's a potential for great storytelling if they wanted to do it. Absolutely. And on top of it, the match that everyone really wanted to see was Hiromu versus Naito. And that gets taken away again. And there's more they can tell with that as well.
He has to win the New Japan Cup now, doesn't he?
You would have had the junior champ for the heavyweight champion.
I know. But they can't do that now. So he has to win the New
Japan Cup. That would be great. Like, I would love to see. Like, that's a story I would be personally invested in. Like, finally get this match that you've both been dreaming of. You know, you could do a thing, maybe Naito's on commentary for his matches. He's like the unofficial manager almost. In his Naito way. You could do a lot of cool stuff. I think that's a great idea moving forward. And Hiromu, I'd give anything for him to move out of the junior division. I think just to freshen him up, which I think is clearly desperately needed.
Yes. So that is the top matches that we had on the show. You know, a great match was Tama Tonga and Shingo Takagi for the NEBO Openweight title.
Yeah, that was
unexpectedly
really
great, really, because we didn't know it at the time, but Tama Tonga is leaving the company. When remains to be seen, because he now has stolen the NEVER title. And the NEVER title really is back at square one, where it used to be at this point last year, too. And Tama Tonga went out there to have a banger with Shingo Takagi. And he, in this match, did the greatest gun stun of all time to Shingo Takagi. Takagi worked his ass off. Tonga worked his ass off. This was just 14 minutes of great fun with a great storyline throughout the match of Tama Tonga going through all the Bullet Club Leaders finishers with the Bloody Sunday. Did he want to do the One Man Angel 2? I'm not sure, but he did the Styles Clash.
This seems to be like the go-to for, like, Phantasmo has done this in the past. Like, this is a go-to for any Bullet Club adjacent person.
For Tama Tonga, it really fits because he has been there all the time.
Yeah, totally. Like, he was one of the original members of the Bullet Club as well. They had a really good match a couple of months ago. They did the show in Vegas where they had the New Japan show in Vegas. And they had a really good match in the main event. So I knew they had the talent. It's just not that interesting because of who's in it and where they were going. I was surprised that Tonga won, to be honest. This is another surprising call. And I'm double surprised if he's leaving, why they did this. Like, Shingo, man, totally in purgatory right now in New Japan. Yeah. It feels like it. Too bad, because, man, what a great wrestler he is. Such a great talent. These two had a banger. Like, this to me was one of the better matches on the show.
Really?
I would put this just. I mean, it was clearly the Danielson and Okada match was the best match to me, but this was under it. This would be my second favorite match of the night.
I would agree. Really good as well in terms of singles matches. Yuya Uemura and Yota Tsuji. They just had the opportunity to go out there for 11 minutes in the Tokyo Dome, and I thought both of them really delivered well. Yuya, you wouldn't have thought it that when he came in with just five guys that he would be in a position like that. But going into 2024, it seems like from the Reiwa 3, he has the biggest upside when it comes to being a singles performer right now, because, of course, he beat Tsuji twice now. Shota Umino is wrapped up in the storyline with Renarita. Of course, he's going to get the big victory eventually. But right now, Yuya is definitely the one that that sticks out from the three.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the fan gauge, especially Western fans, a lot of people are saying
he's
that
not
he
even
is
one
the
of
one...
the Rainbow Three. That
I'm... yeah, he's not even right one of the. Yeah, he's this outsider guy. But a lot of people are saying that Waimura is missing something here. That he's not, like, you know, not as standout as Tsuji. And in this match, I have to agree. I actually thought Tsuji did outperform him here. Just such a great charismatic guy. Waimura, I like a lot, though. I think he's got a great skill set. You know, I think he's done a lot of good things, and I like what I've seen of him so far. I wasn't as down on him and Taichi as a team. A lot of people were kind of talking bad about him, but I thought he did a great job for the most part. And this was a good match. Like you said, the big reaction from the fans. I kind of like the idea of splitting off these four into individual feuds. Like Tsuji and Waimura and Umino and Narita are kind of like our generational rivalries now between them. I like that they've separated them, and I think they did a good job in this match too. Definitely better than the Narita and Umino match, I will say for sure. But Tsuji is the one of the four. He's the one that I think stands out the most to me. And I think Umino will get the opportunities. So for the other two, they really have to work extra hard, I think, to stand out to the fans. And I think Uemura's done a good job as a wrestler, but I do sense a little bit that he's kind of where Narita was last year, where I think he needs a little bit more just to make him stand out a little bit more compared to someone like Tsuji, who's like an explosion of charisma.
Yep. We'll see where this goes.
And it's so early. Again, you can't judge these guys. You know, I say that as well. It's just too early to judge right now, in my opinion.
Tsuji will definitely, at a big show in the middle of the year, get his win back from Yuya, and we'll see where that leads him, potentially like in the global title picture or something like that. Yuya is definitely a good wrestler, but like you said, he's probably not going to be at the top, the tippy top, much like Renarita,
right now,
for that matter.
Yeah, but
we wouldn't have thought that Zanada would be world champion at one point either.
Yeah, they made a bit of the dome. I mean, you can't take that away.
Yep. What do you think about Hiroshi Tanahashi and Zack Sabre Jr.? 8:53 for the television title.
Oh, it was good. I liked that match a lot. Totally what it needed to be. I saw on your Twitter, you were clearly a fan of pointing out match times on this dome show and how none of them were that long for guys who historically... Okada,
there were people coming at me saying, I didn't think that... that Naito and Zanada should have gone 35 minutes. And I said, no, they did not. They went 35.
No, you were totally right. That situation on there. See, that's why, you know, we have to keep in mind, we have to keep our cool. We can't be so defensive sometimes on here. I think we both have to realize that overall, because you were right. Like, you were totally right on that end. But this was, I mean, obviously the biggest case of it. Like, only unlike the Noah show, a lot of these earlier matches, you know, they weren't given a ton of time, and they had to make the best of it. But I think they all did, like, whether it was the tag match, this match, Waimura and Tsuji, I thought they all made the most of their time, pretty much. And I thought this is another great case. I expected Tanahashi to win, and he did. And the president pulling politics once again.
Is Tanahashi buying All Japan Pro Wrestling, Dylan?
Tana Hogan. Right now is at it again. Who the battle of the Hogans, Kento and Tana? Like, who will win? That's the thing we need to see.
They I'd say they need to shorten the time limits for the world television title matches to 10 minutes because I really don't want to see Tanahashi go 15 anymore. You can really see he had trouble keeping up with Zack Sabre Jr.'s slick submissions in this match. Yeah, that's where we are with him.
I'll say this. Historically, I am the Tanahashi defender on this show. I always give him the benefit of the doubt. It's getting harder. Like, you know, like I said, this is the year where I feel, because other years I feel like I've largely
been justified. You've been right.
Yeah. This year, though, I think that even I have to admit that, you know, that the clock is ticking on Tanahashi. But hey, TV title run, I think that's a great spot for him. You always have a super over guy on the card. I can have these quick matches. You know, at most 15, you know, and probably more likely, I think most of them will be like this in that 10 and under range. Or maybe, again, maybe I'll be wrong on that, but I think that you have an opportunity to do a really nice run. And most importantly, we have to make sure by no matter what it takes, by hook or crook, this title cannot ever be on a young wrestler. And we have continued that stress. This is their final payback.
Where is Masato Tanaka when we desperately need him?
Yes, this is Gato's final payback to Obari. Like that, like you wanted this young guy title. We're putting it on Tanahashi.
Yeah. Yeah, what else happened on this show? The tag titles changed hands like you predicted. Guerrillas of Destiny, Fantasmo and Tikoleo won.
And you did too.
Bishamon. I wasn't sure about it, so.
Oh, okay. Hey, Bishamon, I like their entrance, though.
Big-time entrance for them, yeah. Great stuff.
And that's you see, as we go through the show, pretty much every match had a great entrance for them. And they felt like, I mean, it's, for me, it sucks that they lost. They're two of my favorites. Everybody knows that. But I like that they at least gave them this big entrance to make them seem like bigger stars.
Yeah.
And good for them.
Evil and Ren Arita defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Shota Umino.
No!
Kiyomiya just continues to be just a guy.
This is the other thing. One day I think we'll fight about in the future is if you keep trying to say Kaito's a star in New Japan on there. If you ever say that to me, we will fight again.
No, we've talked about it in the G1 and when he
I'm just like and we want him to be a star. Like we want that to happen. And we all want that. Everybody in the world wants this, I think, Striga. Mm. It's just the only people who don't are the people who run these wrestling companies in Japan, unfortunately. But the thing is, though, here's the thing. It's easy. Another great entrance in this match, too, with Umino, with the orange whatever.
Jesus fucking Christ. Did he look like a big, big star?
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. Like, you know, a lot of people were calling him the Japanese badass after Undertaker. But his is an orange. I like.
Please don't cosplay the Undertaker now. Cosplay enough people already.
That's true. Yeah, another person to add to his repertoire of the Umino.
Go to win with the last ride now.
That's true. Like that could be. Will he be the Tombstone we bring in there? What's it going to be, Umino? What have you got for us? The match was obviously nothing, but they made sure that Kaito could not keep that win over anyone for long that he got on the Noah show here. But hey, at least he didn't take the fall, though. And I expected him to win. Like, once he won that match in Noah, I thought for sure that I thought they were going to pin him.
they pretty much got to do that because they are building to that Narita and Umino match. And that's the one thing where I really say that the House of Torture deserves to win this match, these matches, because they need to build up the heat between Umino and Narita more because they've done the turn so prematurely.
No, you're totally right on that end. I don't think anybody could argue with your assessment on that end. And the match was nothing, and we'll see what happens with Evil and all of this and Narita and Umino. Like you said, premature turn. There's going to be a lot of goofy stuff happening one way or the other. And we'll just hope that Umino can overcome it because he did look like his entrance, in all honesty, was great. I wish he could have gotten a big win if things were different, you know? Like, imagine if what we said before had happened and they had won the tag league, like Umino and Narita, and they came out on these motorcycles and stuff and won the tag titles. I thought that would have been like an epic moment for them.
Even though
Narita won, this didn't feel like an epic moment. I do have to admit.
Yeah. So, final title change was Catch-22 regaining the junior tag team title. Whatever, that's the junior tag title.
I may be the only person that thought TJP's entrance was actually kind of cool, to be honest.
Wow.
There was flaws with it, and it ended up being lame. But when they had to start, when Akira came out with the coffin,
yeah,
and they opened the lid and the hand popped out, that got a pop from
that
the
was
fans.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And he came out with the hat on, the straw hat. He had like a nice little deal. And then the problem was he came out as this Oswan character. And then the next thing we see, he walks down, and then Akira goes, "Yeah,
yeah."
Like, that doesn't fit this at all. And so now this team, like the aesthetics of it, because before I thought they were a great team, like just in terms of aesthetics, they matched together really well. Now TJ is doing this Oswan gimmick, which is a mythical creature from the Philippines, obviously playing to his heritage, which I think is cool as well.
Nobody's saying anything against this mythical creature, but the presentation.
Well, you could tell the creature is bad. Like at the end of the day, if you follow the mythology, so it's okay. I have a lot of people in the Philippines that I know. I have a great relationship. Love the Philippines a lot. So I love the mythology. Once he got into the ring. And he started like his head popped up and the mask was on and then the mask came off. This was goofy. But there's part of it that I thought was kind of cool. And I think it got goofy by the end. And the match was fine. Like nothing special about it really.
Yeah.
But Catch-22 is a great team and hopefully they can have it. But like you said, ultimately it's the junior tag title. So
shout out to Drilla Maloney for representing Matt Kurt on this show.
No, that's so cool. Yeah, that's so cool. Rest in peace to Matt Kurt, man. Yeah. Like I said, yeah.
So that basically is Wrestle Kingdom 27,422. I said it on the Eastern Lariat Twitter. They beat last year's Wrestle Kingdom. They did not, though, defeat Keiji Muto's show. When I saw the card, and I think you said it as well, when we had the big matches of the card revealed, getting to 30,000 was a stretch.
Yeah.
And I think that...
Yeah, go on.
Okay. I think that...
I apologize.
No matter what. For what they got here, I think that it was a successful outing at the Tokyo Dome. Especially, you mentioned it, the crowd was hot. The crowd made it feel like a proper big Tokyo Dome show. And it looked like a great house.
Yeah.
It was just a little short on the Muto show. The bleachers for the Muto show was probably much more filled. But 20,422 is a good draw for New Japan. They will probably still be saying, we didn't beat the show. And they will be unhappy about that. But overall, I think that has to be considered a success for them.
I kind of disagreed with some of the feedback we got on the Twitter. Because the way people responded to you saying that was like, oh, Muto is this legend.
Yeah.
Like they could never have beat this run. If you really look at it, it's like it's 2,500 fans. It's not like they were way off. You know, like with another if they had put another big match or two or maybe a stronger challenger, like champion instead of Sonata, there's no reason they couldn't have gotten over that, in my opinion.
Quickly,
like,
have to run in there, Dylan, because I'm remembering my point that I wanted to make about Naito at the beginning.
Oh, yeah,
I think that Naito's title run is so entwined with the Tokyo Dome now that he pretty much has to go on a big run. And I think he should lose it at next year's Tokyo Dome show to Okada.
Agree. I totally agree with that. Absolutely. I was going to make that point because somebody had made a point to us. I think it was Penguin. He stated how they did a similar number to this in 2017 who was it? I think it was like Okada. Did somebody
look it up? Just keep talking.
Yeah. 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 But they did a similar number back a few years ago. It was 2017, 2018. And Dave, if you look at that, the next year after that one, that did the 27,000 fans or whatever. The next one did 35,000 and they put 40,000. Yeah. They papered it a little bit.
So 2017 was Okada and Omega with 26,000.
Yeah. Then what happened the next year?
Wrestle Kingdom 12 was 35,000.
Yep. With Okada and Naito.
Exactly. Yep. Yes.
And they're going to repeat this again and everyone's going to, here's the thing. The last 2 years, let's just be honest. Sonata, like, whatever you want to say about his performances, he was not a strong champion going into this. Or, like, Jay White was not a good champion going into last year. Next year, they're going to have a good champion and a good challenger, and they're going to do a big number. Like, I fully anticipate.
And the fans will also go into this match thinking, and probably for a good reason, that this will be the final big Naito and Okada match.
And like you said, with good reason, they could totally play into that. I would be very surprised if that doesn't play out that way, especially with all the talk they had. There was a bit of scare and again, a little bit of paranoia. I think we're all like a little paranoid these days for whatever reason, like with Okada thinking that he was going to leave New Japan. And again, I even predicted they would try doing half and half contract. Again, I'm shaking that a little bit. I may have been wrong on that prediction. You might want to knock that out and maybe it'll still happen. But I think now with Tanahashi as prez, Okada set up to be a big signing, and I'm sure that they have big plans for him, you know, for good reason. They're not going to put him into some lame match, I would say. And I think Naito and Okada, that is where you need to go to have that big number that they didn't get this year. As you said, this number, I kind of have the same opinion as I had about the Noah show in some ways, where if you look at it, like you said, them backstage, if you just look at the cold, hard number of it, then it was not a good number. Like it wasn't, but it wasn't bad either. Like it could have been a lot worse. They could have done worse than last year, but they didn't do that. There was a nice little bump up. They wanted more first year without restrictions too. Never mind the Muto show. I think that was planned to be a big deal. It didn't really materialize, unfortunately for them. They probably wanted this to be better, but it's not bad either. I think if you try to go too far one way or the other, you probably have some kind of ulterior motive, kind of framing it that way, because I think this is right down the middle, I would say. Like, neither too positive or too negative, but it's a good starting point again, because now if they could build to that match we both said, if they move to that next year and do a big number, then this year, it doesn't matter that much that it didn't beat. Like, who cares if it beat the Muda show or not in the grand scheme of run, grand scheme of things, if they do a big number next year, which they have every potential to do. So, overall, not a bad number, not a great number. I wouldn't be jumping for joy, but it wasn't bad, and it sets up next year to be a big win for them.
Yes.
One more question on that, now that we're talking about attendances. In Tanahashi's introductory press conference, he mentioned their goal is to sell out the Dome, which they would basically have to double this attendance here. You know, and again, like, if you want to be cold-hearted about it, this is a half-full Dome. Like, so it's not a success, really, no matter what. Even the Muto show wasn't a success compared to, you know, the Tenshin fight or whatever. Like, that's sold out the Dome for real. If you want to look at it as a cold numbers, but if you add context to it, it's not that bad. What do you think about him stating that so brazenly that, hey, this is our goal, we want to sell at the Dome?
I don't think they can.
Yeah, I don't think no matter who they put in the main event, they can sell at the Dome.
We said it last year when we talked about Keiji Muto's retirement, and we figured who else is there? What legend is left that could have a similarly big retirement? I don't think there is any left.
I think, if they did a retirement, like, let's say next year, January 4th, Tanahashi announces he's going to have his last
Tanahashi
match
would
ever.
Would be a big draw, and they could go up to, I don't know, what they could do, 35, 40 maybe? I don't know.
And I think they could do that even with Naito and Okada next year, like the 35 level.
Yeah, they could.
I think, the thing is, though, the thing with Muto show, that was a Noah Dome show. That didn't have, like, if you combined the January 4th,
it's not a traditional Dome show. Exactly.
So if you combine that with Tanahashi's last match and Okada and Naito, and maybe bring in another huge match, you might bring in one of these other guys, Omega, Osprey, Brian from the outside, bring in Tenshin. He sold out the Dome. Give him a New Japan run against somebody, have him versus Hiromu in a big match. They need all hands on deck. Maybe they could sell at the Dome that way. But even then, it's kind of a stretch. Like you said, under normal circumstances, unless there's just a huge boom incoming that we, you know, something happens, somebody catches fire to a level we've never seen before, that's not very likely. I think it's interesting that they put that out there right away. It makes me think that they probably do have something big planned for next year. But then again, I thought they would have something big planned for this year, too. And it didn't really materialize because they made such a big deal about the restrictions being lifted. And you had the motivation of the Muto show. And we came in. I think that I really think they put this all on Naito, like this show, and what thought that, hey, he's in the main event. We can get to where we need with him. It doesn't even matter about Sonata. And it didn't quite materialize, but it didn't fail either. You know, so it's interesting, and we'll see what they do in the future. But I like your idea. I like your thinking on the Naito and Okada. Great minds think alike. I think a lot of people thought that too.
I hope so, yes. So a little bit short on time, Dylan, here. Quickly going through the New Year Dash developments. There's nothing to say about the in-ring, really.
Yeah,
it was a fine show. First, Tanahashi defeated Taguchi in his first TV title match in 5 minutes 40 seconds. That's very good for him. Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi got to defeat Kaito. I'm not going through all the results now.
Yeah,
what mattered is Oscar Loibe and Yuto Kashima. They are getting their send off. They are going on excursion now. And I'm, of course, really hoping that Oscar Loibe comes back to Germany to wrestle for WXW once again. I think him and Yuto Nakashima would be a very good fit on the European scene. Then we had a match between the New Japan team and the House of Torture. Evil stole the NEVER title and cut off part of Tamatonga's hair. Desperado confronted Renarita, was attacked by Kanemaru, who had challenged him the night before too. So we're getting Desperado versus Kanemaru next. What was also announced, of course, at the beginning of the show was Matt Riddle coming in, which got a big negative reaction, deservedly so, from everybody on it. Yeah, on Western Twitter, not so much from the Japanese side, which is once again, tells you what they think about bringing in these guys. What else did we have? Of course, the fifth match between United Empire and the Bullet Club War Dogs ended in a chaotic no contest with lots of chairs and blood and stuff being brought on. Osprey then challenged the War Dogs to a match of their choosing. David Finlay chose a steel cage match. We'll probably, that's the assumption that we have here, see a unit disband match between the Empire and the War Dogs. That's going to happen on the 11th of February. Just Five Guys challenged the members of LIJ to singles matches. That's interesting. Lots of people took away from that it's going to be a rematch between Sanada and Tetsuya Naito for the title. That could be, but that wasn't straight up announced. And finally, main event, of course, was the big match with Okada, Ishii, Danielson, and Moxley as a team, which was a great, great squad picture. They lost to TMDK. And afterwards, Kosei Fujita challenged Okada for the NEVER Openweight Six-Man Tag Team title. And Okada said, fuck off, young guy! that's the developments. And I want to read out a tweet from Dean at DNMT67.
Love Dean.
67, yes. Was pretty hyped after Wrestle Kingdom, but Dash tempered my hype a bit. Why wasn't there a major world title angle? Why is the AEW tag main eventing over Naito? Why is Chase challenging for a belt? Why is Riddle coming in? Why is Okada getting Ospreay's last singles? It all felt very disjointed, and I could only say that's on point. I was really confused by some of these developments as well.
You have to wonder, like all great questions, very little answers, I would say. Yeah, the Riddle thing is just, you know, like you said, like totally different responses in Japan and the West. I'm not even a fan of his anyway, to be honest with you, whatever you want to say about his craziness like outside the ring, you know, so we'll see how that goes. I can't see that being a long-term thing. That feels like a one-off match in America me anyway. You know, I don't think he's going to last in Japan just with his issues that he has.
Such a funny response from Tanahashi too. Tanahashi said that he has no idea who he is and he has to do research. Yes, please do some research on it.
Well, we'll see how that goes overall. The Sonata thing, like you said, that wasn't explicitly stated. Maybe they just don't want to hype this matchup.
Maybe, but what would be a really great title match would be Naito and Taichi.
Now, they have kind of a history together. Like they've had feuds in the past and it would be a first-time challenger. That's more interesting than doing a rematch to me, like, you know, right after away. So that was there. Let's not forget that Ishimori won the KOPW title.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
One of the more fun stipulations they had. So they had a four-way match. It had a 10-minute time limit, and the final pinfall decided the winner. So Okan did a couple of pinfalls. But Ishimori got the final one on him and then ran away, and Okan was so stupid to follow him instead of like pinning Toriano. Yeah. It was fun for what it was.
And shout out, we didn't mention it, but shout out on the dome, Fujita Jr. Hayato.
Oh, yes.
Getting her spot in the Rambo match. Great thing to see him getting a dome spot. And the crowd really did a good job with that. And everybody loved it on the Western side.
And it lifted up his spirits so much. And he said it afterwards. He said that he figured out now that he belongs on a big stage like this and he has to come back.
And he always did. Cannot wait to see what the future holds for him. I hope that good things are ahead for Fujita Hayato. And I posted something on Instagram when that happened. Usually I don't do the modern stuff on Instagram. I save that for the Twitter side, and we do that there. But I'll do historical stuff on the Instagram. But for that one, I had to post something shouting out Fujita because that was awesome. I just wanted to bring that up. And New Year's Dash, not a lot.
One final talking point on Wrestle Kingdom. Next year they have to get a team meeting. And they have to sit everybody down and say, okay, not all of you can get white attire.
The white attire curse that we saw on the show early on. I liked at least they tried to have a lot of new gear, a lot of new entrances. It felt like a true spectacle, and I think that's going to go a long way for the next year's show. And the Ospreay leaving again, as I mentioned, he might not be around as New Japan as much as I thought. Maybe he will, who knows, but it looks like he might be an AEW guy going forward. And we'll see how that cage match goes. Makes sense, gives us some more shakeups. I think shakeups are good. Create some fresh faces, maybe a new group, maybe change some things around if somebody breaks up. Could be interesting to see how that goes. Ospreay and Okada. That makes kind of sense when you look at their history together. They were so intertwined when Ospreay was in Chaos. And overall, I mostly agree, though. The New Year's Dash didn't do anything to increase any hype, even though I left the Dome show on a very high note. Like, I thought the Dome show, in my opinion, just to wrap all this up, was maybe whatever you want to say about the attendance. As an overall show and everything involved in it, this year's Dome show was a total success, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can only agree. That's the end of it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yep. We covered it all. It was a lot. Well, that's it for the first show of the year. The second show of the year will be the big year-end awards show. And then, like we said at the opening of the show, voting is still open. The Google form is on our Twitter at Eastern Lariat. Please vote. Please give us your opinions.
Please vote.
Voting really broadens the awards and broadens our look at the scene in 2023, and that's really our goal.
Absolutely. And we are going to have the definitive awards in Japanese pro wrestling. We already have a good amount of votes, definitely more than last year. We've already beaten like last year's year awards pretty clearly. So we just need a little bit more to beat the half year awards. So everybody, please vote. It doesn't matter how big of a fan you are of everything. If you're a fan of one company or all of them, if you're just a Joshi fan, Deathmatch, I don't care what you like. Everything is welcome. Every company is fair to be represented. We had like 14, 15 promotions I put that were in the best promotion vote in the mid-year awards. And now we're going to have a great turnout for this. We got some big plans coming ahead. The debut of the Eastern Lariat Hall of Fame as well.
Yes.
We're going to make it a big show. We got some big things planned for that. It's going to be amazing. You've got to tune in. Obviously everyone loved the Dome, but you got to tune into the awards. That's going to be a major, major event.
Absolutely. So much for now from the Eastern Lariat. Thank you all for listening and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.